much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I've been looking at our utter and complete lack of experience as a positive thing, but I'm starting to think it might actually be a problem.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, do you know what day this is? Today is Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Today is Friday, my job sure is taxing, but Friday is my day to start
this?
And relaxing. Do you see what I say? Thank God it's Friday.
You have to hate it, it's different.
Welcome to the Battle Royale, right here, right now. Operation Soaring Falcon is in its final stages.
It's time to settle this.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
A lot of Americans hate you.
Roll another one.
What an unbelievably unpleasant person.
Just like the other one.
The sausage party.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That was hot nonsense.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You don't know, man.
Roll.
I'm sorry for your child.
I don't have another cent.
I mean, if they start smelling money in the water, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork.
Well, let's get baked.
Just pass it around.
No thanks, ma'am. I'm actually gay.
I'm in a boner. You think this is funny? Do you see anyone laughing?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning.
How you feeling, Beer Mug?
Wow.
Doesn't he look run over?
Why? What happened?
Well, just look at him.
What happened?
Well, he's been here about 5 minutes, for starters.
Yeah, I must have broken some land speed records on the way here. I'm glad they're warning
the
cops.
So you woke up late?
Yeah.
We'll start with that. Okay.
I woke up late at 5:02 a.m.
Okay, good. Oh, a.m. Okay.
Yeah. And I made it here about 5:25. And
you won't tell me how fast you went.
So no. You're well over 100, clearly. So
Officer
you're
just, M.
Yeah. So you're just barely hanging
awake.
On. To,
yeah.
Okay. Good.
No, but I'm here. I'm alert. I'm ready.
You're
to
not
go.
Alert when
you're alert.
When you're here and alert. You're not alert
and rested.
And rested, right?
Well, Kevin will tell you, because the first 1,000 times he woke up and it was 5:02 a.m., he panicked and worried about it and sweated it and hustled.
Right.
Eventually, you just get used to it. You just go with it. You just go, whatever.
What am I going to do now? It's 5:02.
It's not worth a heart attack, right?
Exactly. It's not worth a heart attack.
Kevin's got a little leeway, though, because I actually have to be there and make sure Kevin's ready.
Technically, you're supposed to be here at 5.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm supposed to be here at 5:30.
Exactly.
So if I get here at 5:29... I'm a minute early. You get here at 5:29. You're a half hour late.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So we're sure.
Well, Beer Mug was careful to not let Omar or Chip or anyone who could actually run the show know that he was that late.
Excellent.
Too,
so. Good. He kept it a secret. Good.
He did. He kept it a secret. Well, it's private Good. Personal information.
I like that.
So where this show is just this whole week, we've just Lisa barely shows up. I mean, it's amazing the thing gets on the air every day, isn't
That's
it?
That's true.
We have barely made it through this week. That's true.
Barely.
Just hanging on.
Yep.
Here's a story that I think a lot of people will relate to. I don't know what your guys' take is on public cell phone conversations. They drive you crazy. They don't bother you that much.
They kind of bother me.
Yeah, it depends on the loudness. If they're too loud, of course, you know, hey, keep it to yourself.
I'll tell you the place that I don't get, and this story that I'm about to tell you is about a guy who just had it up to here. He takes the bus in Philadelphia. He just had it up to here with all the long cell phone conversations that he had over here every single day on the bus. And I'll tell you what he did in a minute. Okay. What gets me is restaurants. And even if it's, yeah, you know, the kind of restaurant I go to, like a Denny's or something like that, there's something about a guy in a booth behind me talking on his cell phone for a long time at a restaurant that to me, that just seems like bad form.
Yeah, of course, because he's in your space as you're in his space, so you got to kind of respect each other and try to keep it down. Of course.
Yeah, I don't
like that either.
I'm sure he would argue, yeah, but it's Denny's. It's, I mean, if you want to go to a fancy restaurant, go to a fancy restaurant happen, but it's Denny's.
You're forced now to listen to his conversation.
I don't think it has to be a fancy restaurant for them not to talk so loud on their phone.
Yeah.
It could be McDonald's, and still they should be quiet if they're in your space.
I mean, the most I'll ever do is if, 99% of the time, if I'll get a call, I'll just let it go to voicemail if I'm in a restaurant. But if it's my wife or something, I'll just pick up and just whisper, hey, I'm at Denny's. I'll call you back when I get out. You know, and that'll be the extent of it, which I think is a little more considerate. Well, here's a guy on the bus who just had it. The police didn't find him, but a Philadelphia television station went undercover after they heard reports of what this guy was doing. He bought a cell phone jammer.
Oh, sweet.
They cost about $1,000. Kevin, start taking notes because you're going to want one. They can block signals in the room about the size of a movie theater, which, by the way, we've often wondered why movie theaters aren't using them as they should, right? Apparently, they are illegal in many countries, including the United States of America. And the reason they're illegal is because they also can interfere with radio frequencies like those used for emergency personnel and police.
Well, that's not good.
But in a movie theater, I guess it's because somebody might have to call 911 if you have a heart attack. Is that why they wouldn't have a cell phone jammer?
Maybe? Probably, yeah, I imagine. But you know what you could do is I don't know this thing very much, but you could do it just enough to annoy them so they'll hang up. You just cut it out for 7 seconds.
Oh, that's a good idea.
They'll then let go, and they'll think it's, you know, their cell phone.
That's a great idea.
Then you don't have to risk 911 and all that stuff.
NBC 10 in Philadelphia went undercover on the 44 bus and captured footage of a man jamming phone signals. When confronted, he admitted and defended his actions. He said, his name is Eric, by the way. Yeah, Eric. I guess I'm taking the law into my own hands, and quite frankly, I am proud of it. It's still pretty irritating, and frankly, it's pretty rude, he said, referring to public phone conversations. By the way, if it had been the police that had caught him, it could have meant jail time and up to $16,000 in fines.
Wow!
Eric said that he thought the jammers were a legal gray area, but insisted that his actions were justified by people who don't practice phone manners in public. He says he will get rid of the jammer, which I doubt very seriously.
Yeah, come on now. Once you got the jammer, you can't get rid of the jammer.
But how do you get I'm sure Omar knows a guy. There must be a black market undercover you can buy a jammer thing, right?
Remember, about 10 years ago, I was trying to get our engineer to put one of those little strobe lights in my car that the police have to turn the light screen. And I got really close, but then I got the feeling that the people in this room were going to turn on me and perhaps tell someone, and then that's, of course, illegal.
And that absolutely would have happened. Your instincts were correct on that one. Yeah. Nobody would have let you slide with
that. But I was very close. I almost had it, and then I would never hit a red light. That'd be awesome for me, not for everyone else, but for
not
me.
For everyone else, right? Exactly, yeah. I mean, that would screw up a lot of people,
right,
and their understanding of how traffic lights work.
Correct.
All of a sudden, why is that turning red? It's been green for 8 seconds.
Exactly. And then I fly right on through.
Oh, sweet.
Yep.
Not
good
sweet.
Times.
Couldn't do it. Couldn't trust Bean. He's going to do the right thing and turn me in, which I would have done to him as well. So, all right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Even though, yes, it is pretty stupid, it is very much entertaining.
Okay, good. We have LaQuisha on Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
We have Doug Benson. He's a comedian.
Yes.
Coming in the studio. We have Mark Maron on the program today.
Another comedian.
We have April Foolishness tickets.
Woohoo!
We're going to give away. They sold out, by the way. Thank you to everybody that bought those. We appreciate it. All the proceeds go to charities. To the Wounded Warrior Fund? Wounded Warrior Project.
Mm-hmm.
And Cedar Sinai NICU. And we got the movie beat today because it's Friday. We got a brand new internet roundup for you.
Excellent.
We have Nathan Fillion from Castle. We have a whole bunch of stuff coming up this morning on the show. Stick around. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman is here on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What are you talking about, Ralph?
All week long, I've been giving away tickets to the very special K-Rock advanced screening of John Carter. And today's no exception. So, welcome back, Carter.
File.
Thank you. Thank you and good
you
night.
You wanted the file, didn't
thank
you?
Thank you and good night.
Ralph came in demanding the file.
I missed
this
the file. We hadn't done the file in a while. I figured, well, if no one's going to load it up, maybe it's on my shoulders. Maybe I'm the guy. It happens on March the 6th, our advanced screening does. The movie's in theaters everywhere on Friday, March the 9th, but you'll be one of the first people on the planet Earth to see it early. If you're one of the first five callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's a number to call. John Carter, of course, the story of a Civil War vet who ends up on the planet Mars becoming a freedom fighter for those people.
So sick of that plot line.
Carter was created by Edgar Rice Burroughs, who created Tarzan, of course. He created a bunch of characters. And John Carter, in its day, was as popular as Tarzan was.
Really?
It was a huge, huge franchise that they're bringing back. Huh. So, welcome back, Carter.
Stop.
All right, let's talk show business news. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver, are they getting back together? It looks like that might be the case.
He's a baller, man.
Us Weekly says the two were trying to reconcile.
How does that happen?
Now, the other side of the rumor mill says they're not in counseling. They're through for good. If they're spotted in public together, it's only because of their family. They do have four children together. But Maria reportedly doesn't want a divorce for religious reasons. She's a devout Catholic.
Oh, yeah, well.
And so they may be trying to find a way to patch their relationship up. Also, she's a Kennedy. And they have a long family history of women staying with their cheating husbands.
Yeah, so right. Doesn't seem to be acceptable.
There may be some genetic coding there that allows her to take him back. But that would be interesting, I think.
Is she going to demand
castration?
You know, monogamy or anything? I mean, or is she cool with just him going out and doing what he does?
I bet there'll be some rule changes in the household if they do get back together again. There'll be some sort of a cage device with a lock and key, I think, that may be implemented.
And by the way, it doesn't help just to hire a hideously ugly housekeeper. That's not the answer in that household.
That doesn't slow him down, obviously.
That doesn't do it. You got to get a dude.
Khloe Kardashian says she never liked Chris Humphries, the soon-to-be ex-husband of her sister Kim. Largely because, as she told Jay Leno on The Tonight Show, when they first met, he said to her, "How much are you getting paid to fake your marriage?" regarding her marriage to Dallas Mavericks' Lamar Odom.
Oh, oops. My God.
Wrong thing to say.
Yeah. The irony, by the way. Yeah. Maybe he thought they all did. Maybe he knew his marriage was a fake, so he assumed all of the Kardashian marriages were set up.
How does this work, everyone?
I honestly believe he went into thinking, well, how much did they pay you and Lamar when you guys get married? Because they're paying me this much, and I know ours is fake. I just thought he was walking onto a set of a series rather than into someone's real life. So I think that was his intent, and she mistook it and took offense to it. But so she never liked him. Well, that's okay.
You don't want Chloe on your bad side.
We don't. Yeah, really. She will stomp on you like Godzilla. It'll be all lights out. Interesting list from Us Weekly magazine. Smoking hot show business women give advice on what their first date turnoffs are. This is what you don't want to do if you're with a smoking hot chick.
Okay. On a first date. Okay.
Emmy Rossum of Shameless over there on Showtime. She likes to get naked a lot on that show.
She does like to get naked much.
First date turnoff for her? If you've got bad breath, that's a deal breaker for Emmy. Well, that's a given, isn't it?
I guess that's true for everyone.
First date, don't you brush your teeth before you head out? I mean, wouldn't that just be...
I would think.
De rigueur? Cheryl Burke of Dancing with the Stars? If he tries to sleep with me on the first date, she says that's a deal breaker. She won't see another guy.
Second date, though, right away.
Yeah, she's giving it up. Listen, you're Cheryl Burke. You're hot, and you're on that Dance with Star show, and you're always showing off your cans and stuff. Don't blame us. It's your fault if we try to sleep with you on the first date. Stop being so whorish.
We can't fight science.
That's right. And Jessica Lowndes from Beverly Hills 90210.
Yes.
Oh, I like her. She says if you... This is Beano like this one you guys were talking about this morning. If you talk on your cell phone or text during dinner, she says she will not give you a second date if that's the kind of guy you are.
King Unless of Mexico, I'm at the next table with a jammer.
King of Mexico has no chance.
It's true.
Oh, I have to text about the new Perry Moore single. Can you give me a break during a salad?
It's not my fault.
No, it isn't your fault, sir. Mel Gibson has convinced the judge that he's found his happy place.
Great.
His lawyer showed up before a judge yesterday with proof that Mel Gibson has not only completed his required time in anger management therapy, but surpassed it. He kept going once the legal requirements were finished.
No kidding.
Because he thought it was actually helping him. This helps him get clear of his probation sentence for that no contest plea to battery charges against his girlfriend Oksana Grigorieva. Now all he has to do is not be violent for the next 2 years, and he will be off the hook. So if you've got a problem with Mel, now's the time to get in his face.
Because he can't do anything about it.
Can't do anything. Can't punch you, can't push you. He's like, you just see him turning red, just biting his tongue, because you can just...
Nothing he can do.
Crawl up in his grill and
what? What are you, a expert?
Hey, watch yourself. I'll send you back to the Hooskow.
I said nothing!
And interesting casting news. You know Amy Smart? Beautiful,
sure.
Talented actress. She was in the Crank movies with Jason Statham. Maybe that's how you know her. Just been cast in a new series for NBC called Bad Girls.
All right.
Which is about a bunch of female inmates in a federal prison.
All right.
With a female warden. Come on.
Now we're getting somewhere. All right.
Congratulations, NBC. You finally got yourself a winner. You finally figured out the equation. That's what we want to see on television.
It's not
all
a sitcom, right?
Female prison. No, it's a drama.
Okay.
They're bad girls in cages. This year on NBC, Amy Smart is in Meet the Plunger.
We've finally figured it out.
I can't wait for that. And sad, tragic news. For those of us who are looking forward to this project, Dan Aykroyd has announced... That looks like Ghostbusters 3 is officially dead.
Oh!
Oh, it's too bad. It is too bad. Because here's what I'm saying. Everyone's saying, it'll suck. The second one wasn't as good as the first one. This one will probably suck, too. I don't care. To see Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, and Harold Ramis in those suits with the proton packs on back in business, that would just be joy enough for me for 2 hours. I guarantee you there'd be a half a dozen solid, hard laughs in there for me, and that would be good enough.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
But Bill's out. He, for the long time, he was stalling. He was hemming. He was hawing. He wasn't. He said, "I hadn't read the script yet." Well, he's officially said there's no way he would return for another.
Come on,
Dr. Bill. Peter Venkman.
Bill doesn't want to play nice with anyone these
days.
He doesn't.
He just wants to golf and just play Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
He doesn't want to be in a movie
weirdo.
That people might see.
Come on, Bill. Would it kill you? Get your big payday, go back with your old friends, have fun for a couple months, and just give us one last Ghostbusters.
Are you menstruating right now?
He said he's out, and Aykroyd said with Bill out, he can't see a way that they could possibly
do
it.
Of course not.
So, suspended animation, that's what Aykroyd's calling the project right now, but it looks like it may be death. Today's celebrity birthdays, legend Lou Reed, singer-songwriter, he is 70 years old today. John Bon Jovi is 50. Surfer Laird Hamilton celebrates his 48th birthday. Chris Martin of Coldplay is 35. Actress Bryce Dallas Howard of The Help, and of course, daughter of Ron Howard, is 31 years old today. And Daniel Craig, James Bond himself, celebrates his 44th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Funny man Doug Benson, also Mark Maron, both on the program today. Speaking of comedians, thanks again for buying the tickets for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2012 yesterday. Proceeds to the Wounded Warrior Project in Cedars-Sinai NIQ. Sold out in what, about an hour, maybe a little less, something like that?
Yeah.
It's going to be a great show. April 7th, the Gibson Amphitheater. We do have tickets you can win later on today's Kevin and Bean show to the sold-out show.
So yesterday, Ralph did a story about Justin Bieber. And his showbiz. I guess it's his birthday. And most child singers / actors can't actually have access to their money until their 18th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Which means he might get $100 million yesterday.
Yeah. He's made quite a lot of money in the last few years. You know, he's had 4 big hit albums and a huge hit movie and obviously the merchandise. I mean, the guy has had a lot of revenue streams. Jimmy Kimmel was funny last night. He said it's Justin Bieber's birthday, which means that he is now officially too old to listen to his own music. So, it must be quite a transition being a man today. Happy birthday, Justin. How are you, my friend? Hello, Justin Bieber.
Hello. Hey.
Hey, Justin. Hey, how are you, buddy?
What's with all the questions, bro?
You just asked how you were.
I know all these questions, bro.
It's just saying good morning and wishing you
a
happy birthday.
I'm a man now. You can't push me around, bro. Okay, bro?
Okay, I'm not bro. First of all, I wasn't pushing you around. I was just saying, hi, how are you?
Oh, okay. Hi, how are you? Hey, how's it going, eh?
It's going well, eh?
Tell me about this $100,000 luxury electric car you got presented on the Ellen show yesterday.
I know. It's crazy, eh? Like my manager's scooter.
Uh-huh.
He decided he wanted to get me an 18th birthday present, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And so he got me an electric car, eh?
Right.
That costs $100,000?
Yeah, it's a 2008 2012 Fisher Price or something.
Is that right? Fisker Karma. I think it's called the Fisker Karma.
And it's all like electric, eh?
Right.
So it means that I have to buy a lot of D batteries, eh? Because you go.
Well, I don't think it probably doesn't run on just regular.
No, I do. I have a radio control car and it uses Ds, so I'm doing this much a lot because it's even bigger than the electric control car I have.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Like radio control, eh?
Yeah.
Well, this is the car that Leonardo DiCaprio has in Al Gore.
Oh, Leo has it.
That crowd, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, eh? I love the Titanic movie. I like to watch it in the Staples Center.
Yeah, you did rent that out. That's true. Yeah. So here's the thing. So you got a $100,000 car handed to you yesterday.
But
you
by scooter.
By scooter, right. But you could buy dozens of those cars because now that you're 18, you're ridiculously wealthy, right?
I have a lot of money now.
Yes.
Right, uh-huh.
Can we ask how much?
Yeah, sure.
How much?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a lot.
What is it?
I got a guy who just sits on it for me. He says it's a big stack.
Okay, all right.
And I can do a lot of things now that I couldn't do before.
Like what?
Like buy Guam.
You can't buy a country.
Watch me, bro. I'm going to buy one and call it Bieberania.
Are they selling? Because I've not heard of this.
Or Bieberistan.
So you're just going to...
But everything's for a price, man.
Okay.
So if you go to the government of Guam, you say, I want to buy your country. You think they'll sell it to you for enough money?
Absolutely, eh? Everybody, it's a down economy. Country's got to make a living, eh?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you got to buy a country.
And by the way, can I just say I support Ellen DeGeneres 100%? Because I heard people don't want her to be a spokesperson for a store because she's Lebanese. And I think if we start prejudicing against people who are from other countries, then that's not what
it's not Lebanese.
Is all about, eh? So let's live with truth, justice, and the Canadian way.
Mm-hmm. No, you are.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the Maple Leaf.
What's happening right now?
Okay, I don't know. Justin's very confused.
I'm already on drugs, eh? I'm 18 and rich, and I'm so high. What's with all the drugs, bro?
You tell us.
Oh, they're so good. Why didn't anyone tell me about this before? I am so rich and high. Oh, what? I cannot wait to start my downhill spiral.
When do you think you're going to start the downhill spiral?
I'm in the midst of the first stage right now.
You're already starting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it is awesome.
It sounds pretty fun,
Thank
actually.
Thank you, Miley, for the salvia.
Oh, you got it from Miley, did you?
Yeah.
Oh,
I made a smoothie out of it. I don't think that's how you're supposed to do it, but...
Hey, what the hell? You're rich. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm so rich. I'm going to buy you guys and make you fight each other in a cage.
What are you talking about?
That would be awesome, eh?
You can't
Kevin and Bean fighting in a cage with, like, shields and, like, gladiator helmets and
First
stuff.
Of all, we're terrible fighters. Second of all...
In the nude.
you can't make us do
people.
That.
I can. I'm so rich.
But you can't make us do that if we don't want to.
Watch me. Watch me do it.
All right.
Okay.
Just tell us when and where.
I told you, bro.
Good luck with the money, Justin.
Oh, I don't need luck. I have money.
You have a lot of it,
too. I am so rich, bro.
Yes, you are, bro.
100,000 people.
You like electric cars?
Brand new internet roundup for you coming up in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, since it's Friday, how about Ralph Garman's Booby Beat?
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
This time of year is often called the post-Oscar hangover, where we hit a little bit of a lull in terms of the big movies that are coming out leading up to the summer blockbusters. Spring is an interesting time in the movie theaters because you get smaller, more interesting films, a wider selection, a better variety, so you get a chance to catch some really cool things happening.
But the people that really want Oscars will wait for a while, so it's still top of mind then?
Exactly. So all the stuff is mostly Oscar talk and re-releases and the hard push, and then you get your Christmas blockbusters, of course. And then between now and an award season, it kind of tapers off, and then at this point forward, it's everything gearing up to the summer blockbusters. So springtime is usually where you see smaller films released and because they think they can find an audience and not competing with the bigger films. And that's the case this weekend. Some very interesting films are coming out this weekend. One big movie for the kids, but otherwise, this is a movie from a couple of hilarious guys. If you watch Tim and Eric's awesome show, Great Job, have you ever seen these
guys
I have. Work together?
Yes.
An amazing talent pool they have to choose from. A lot of their friends do that show, and they're doing their movie as well. It's called Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie. And it's basically a documentary about, a faux documentary about Tim and Erica getting a $1 billion budget to make a movie and how they blow it and it all goes horribly wrong. And they have to try to make their money back by buying a failing shopping mall and turning it around. That's the basic premise of this story. Here is this little scene from the film. Tim and Erica explaining where the money went. Where did the $1 billion go for this movie that never got made?
They had expensive personal makeovers.
These two guys don't get into premiere parties. These guys get in front of the line of premiere parties.
And they accidentally cast a Johnny Depp impersonator instead of the genuine Johnny Depp.
You said it was Johnny Depp. It smelled like Johnny. Everyone said this is Johnny Depp on the set. It's a big day.
No, it wasn't Johnny Depp. I know my Johnny Depp.
Other expenses included helicopter rides to work, 10-course lunches, and real diamonds for the diamond gym suit.
The diamonds are forever, though, and we can't return them, so...
Those diamonds aren't going back.
No, they're not going back. Sounds like they got the guy from behind the music to do the narrator. Yeah, it sounds very familiar.
That's funny.
Also, there's opening this weekend, Being Flynn. I don't know how I haven't heard about this film, but it sounds awesome. What an amazing cast. Paul Dano, who you know from Little Miss Sunshine, and also There Will Be Blood. Robert De Niro, Julianne Moore, and Olivia Thirlby all star in this film. The basic premise is Dano is a guy who's working in a Boston homeless shelter. And he encounters his father, who he hasn't seen forever, in the homeless shelter. His father's a con man, a self-proclaimed poet, and they struggle with whether to reestablish a father-son bond or not. Sounds dark and yet also heartfelt. Here's a clip from Being Flynn where Paul Dano is talking to De Niro about his mom who committed suicide.
That was my first wife, Jody.
I know who it is. She was my mother.
I know she was your mother. She was the most beautiful woman in the world. She was the love of my life. She was the light of my love. I know if she was still alive today, we'd be together. Such a tragic accident.
What accident?
What accident? The accident that cut her life short.
Wasn't an accident. She left a note.
Did it mention me?
No.
Yeah. Not much of a letter writer, your mother.
Not much of a letter writer. Dr. Seuss's The Lorax. This is the big one for the kids this weekend. A 12-year-old boy searches for the one thing that will enable him to win the affection of a girl. And it's repopulating the world with these trees that the Lorax loves. I don't know. I have no idea what this movie's about. I never read the book as a kid. I don't know. Is a Danny DeVito's a little orange guy with a mustache, and it's about ecology and save the planet and trees are good. That's all I can get from
that's what it is.
This.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, here's the scene with Zac Efron, who plays the 12-year-old boy, giving Taylor Swift his seed.
I'm sorry?
He's giving her his seed.
What is this about?
It's about this.
Wait. Is that?
Yes, the last truffula seed. And you're going to help me plant it right in the middle of town where everyone can see it.
I could just kiss you right now.
Well, we don't have time for that.
I don't know. We have a little time.
Hold on. This is for kids? This guy's going to plant his seed with this girl right in the middle of town? Everybody's going to watch? What kind of filth are they peddling to our children these days?
It's a tree seed.
I cannot believe, even though it's animated, you don't want a 12-year-old boy planting his seed with a young lady right in the middle of the town so everyone can...
It's a tree. It's a seed for a tree.
Oh, that's what truffula is?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
What? Thank you. And lastly, Project X. Here's your movie. Here's your movie of the week. This is three high school losers decide to throw a party to make a name for themselves in their senior year, trying to salvage their high school experience by becoming cool by throwing the party to end all parties.
They're trying to salvage 4 years?
What could go wrong when you throw a big bash with mom and dad out of town, right? Especially when it's such a small number of kids are going to stop by.
Sure.
The whole idea behind tonight is to get these bitches to recognize us as large-scale ballers.
I just don't really see the point anymore.
How do you not see the point? There's the point. There's the point.
Okay.
There's two more points right there. It's all around you.
Dude, I get it.
If you pick this up, I will stab you. I'm not kidding.
Okay, like no more than 20 people.
20 people?
All right, 30 people, okay?
30 people?
All right, wait. Okay, 50 people, absolute max.
Fine. 50 people, absolute max.
You know, just big enough to be cool.
Yeah, just 50 people. 50,000 people who show up. As you can tell from the trailer, things get a little out of hand, and it looks like enormous fun, Project X. That's my pick for the weekend.
When was the last time you had a movie, Ralph, that came out with, forget stars, actors you've ever seen in anything ever before in it?
Yeah,
and still are dying to go see it.
It's a complete group of unknowns, young actors who have never really done anything of note that we know them from, which I think sometimes enhances a movie experience because you go in feeling like these are the characters as opposed to watching a star up on the screen. And this looks like it's just so much fun, Project X.
And we have to mention K-Rex Kevin and his appearance in
Project
X.
Oh, I can't
wait. Right?
More importantly, this party's going out pretty soon now here.
That's Kevin's line from Project X. Hope you enjoy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Comedian Mark Maron of the WTF podcast is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Doug Benson later on today. And we've got your tickets into April Foolishies. You can win in the next 45 minutes or so from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about a brand new internet roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com, krock.com. You can get to the internet roundup. There are a bunch of videos, probably twice as many as we have time to highlight. One of them is a crazy hamster. I don't understand that. Bean says this hamster is the deal.
He is the deal. Have you ever seen a more athletic animal in your life?
That hamster walks around doing backflip after backflip after
really?
Backflip. Yes.
It's like 50 of them in a row.
It's like a toy.
How does his little heart not explode?
I don't know. But he is the deal. That's true. The birthday girl gets knocked out by her friend. I find this hard to believe, but it sure looks real. They sing happy birthday to her. She blows out the candles, and then a friend takes the back of her head and smashes it into the cake, and she stays in the cake. She's knocked out, if you believe the video.
Happy birthday to you.
Megan.
Megan, Megan, stop. Go get your mom.
Yeah, they're freaking out because she's still got her face in the cake.
And oh, my
God. She can't breathe, and it doesn't occur to them. Maybe if she is knocked out, maybe they should get her face out of the cake.
Whoa. Yeah.
These are the worst friends ever because, first of all, they push her face into a cake on her birthday. And then, second of all, they occasionally pull her by the hair to lift her up and then just let her drop right back down into the cake because she's unconscious.
Well, I think they can't believe that she's unconscious, I think.
They just think she's like, pretending.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretending, right.
Oh, it's crazy.
This video got a lot of complaints. It was Jeremy Lin, Superior Intellect. It was done by an Asian guy, but a lot of people got upset about it because they show basketball. Jeremy Lin's the guy that plays for the Knicks, and it's all that Linsanity and all that stuff. And he's making some moves on the Lakers, so they slow it down, they stop it, and then they tell you what he's thinking.
So we meet again, an older man, a fisherman. Okay, double two plus infinity. Time quadratic formula over hyperbola equal spin and move. Take me to go fishing, a fisher.
It's Derek Fisher that he scores on. So people are, and of course that's because he graduated from Harvard, so he's supposed to be smart, so people complained, and then they put up a PC version of the exact same video of Jeremy Lin driving on Derek Fisher.
Greetings, my older and more experienced opponent. I will not take your age for granted, as senior citizens add an essential value to our society and have a wealth of knowledge to share. Oh, got you with the spin move.
It's so funny. You have to watch them both because they're both hilarious for completely different reasons. The PC one is so PC.
Yeah,
that
it's,
they're obviously making fun of people that insist that they be that PC. They're both very well done.
Will Ferrell is making a movie in Spanish. Now,
yes,
this is odd, but when it's Will Ferrell, you go, okay, well, that guy's weird. He's making a movie all in Spanish, and he sat down for a Spanish language interview. And I asked the King of Mexico what they were talking about. He had no idea.
Of course not.
So I asked Bean, and he said they're talking about some kind of breakfast food that he enjoys, I guess. But this is Will Ferrell giving a Spanish language interview.
Has comido arepas, Will?
¿Cómo?
Arepa.
Arepa.
Have you tried them before?
Oh, arepa. Ah, comida.
Venezolana.
Or Venezuelan breakfast.
Desayuno.
Rica, rica.
Sí,
¿Te gusta?
Quiero.
It's just so funny that Will Ferrell would show up on Univision to promote this movie when he clearly doesn't speak more than a few words of Spanish. But like everything else Will Ferrell does, he manages to make it hilarious.
He's fantastic. And who would think of, who would think at this point in their career of making a movie all in Spanish?
And I can't wait to see it.
And I'm pretty sure we're going to have to interview him in Spanish as well. I don't know how that's going to go. The Kia Optima dunks over Blake Griffin. This is a play on the dunk contest where they would put where Blake Griffin would put a car there and jump over the car and dunk it. This is the car dunking over Blake, or at least that's the idea.
The Kia Optima is going to go at full speed down this runway. Joe Slickman with the propulsion trigger up the ramp. This detaches and it dunks over Blake.
Time out.
All right, so the car hits the ramp, goes right through the ramp, and then runs right over Blake Griffin.
Okay.
Knocks Blake Griffin back like 30 feet. So then Blake Griffin sits down for an interview about what happened. He's got a neck brace and an arm brace and a shoulder brace. He's pretty much in a brace from head to toe. And the guy that's interviewing him is not giving him any breaks.
All I ever wanted was for that Kia Optima to dunk over me. It was going to change the world. And now, I feel like a failure.
First off, wipe your eyes, you're crying. Secondly, you are a failure.
I'm not crying.
You're kind of crying. I see your eyes welling up.
I'm not crying.
Your eyes are welling up with water.
I have horrible allergies.
Yeah, you're allergic to looking like a ding-dong. You suffer from ding-dong-itis.
I'm just happy to still be alive.
You got grift, which is my new term for being a super failure.
By the way, Blake Griffin has been really funny in all of these funny
videos. I agree.
Videos, hasn't he? He's a good actor.
I was thinking about this. Not only is he a superstar basketball player, he's going to have the world as far as doing commercials because he's so funny and self-effacing. And yeah, he's likable. Here's a guy who went to the hospital. He had an arm broken, and they had to re-break it and set it, so they gave him a bunch of drugs. And this is what he sounds like on those drugs.
Whoa!
By the way, you have to watch this whole thing. It's about 4 minutes long. And it's the guy just high as a kite on drugs. He's never been happier. Nurse walks by. He goes, hey, you're hot. Hi, sexy.
Man.
Krishna has got more than the worker for
that. Everything's in slow motion. Damn. I sound like the Joker. Yeah. Oh my god!
Ever since that David After Dentist video a year and a half ago or so, nobody ever gets anesthesia anymore without their friends and family videotaping them.
And I'm so glad. All 4 minutes of that are worth watching. He's like, at one point, he's like, you're a good hockey player. He's just saying stuff. He's out of his head. Speaking of which, after you get home from the dentist is another time when parents exploit their children to our benefit. Nina, how old does she look, Bean? Maybe she's... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell, but she is so high and just keeps asking the same questions over and over again. She's got a memory span of about 5 seconds after she had her wisdom teeth out.
Yeah, and the drugs are, of course, playing a big part in that, so her mom is videotaping and talking to her.
What's in my mouth?
What's in my mouth?
Gauze. No, don't touch it. What? Don't touch it. You had your wisdom teeth out. I
did?
Yeah, you did. What's in my mouth? Gauze. What? You had your wisdom teeth out. Don't touch it.
Oh. Like my attention span.
What's in my mouth? Gauze. What? You had your wisdom teeth out. I did? Yeah? Say bye. Bye. What's in my mouth? Gauze.
Remember when your parents used to protect you, not exploit you? Remember those days?
Those were the bad old days. I love this new trend of people in the hospital, people coming back from the dentist. You can see all these videos plus a bunch more at Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup, kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Ralph, you know your boyfriend's going to be on next hour, Nathan Fillion.
You have to tell me, bitch.
Yeah. Talking about Castle.
He's
Nathan Fillion.
What happened? He was listening when you were doing the giveaway
this
for the
season
Paley
has
Fest?
Been amazing, by the way, in Castle.
It has been.
Yeah. Apparently, Nathan Fillion was listening when I gave away the tickets to Paley Fest 2012 for an evening with Castle. And he was thrilled to hear us talk about it. And rumor has it, he wants to add a little extra something-something for the K-Rock winners to tickets. So when they come to the event, they get treated a little bit more special.
Oh, okay.
That's nice of him.
Well, that is very nice of him. And I think incentive for those of you listening to listen to the show, because listening has its benefits, apparently.
Not very often, but in this particular case.
You get like bonus miles or something. I'm not sure how it works, but you get a little something extra.
But is it worth the trade-off of having to listen to this show?
Sometimes.
I think so. If Nathan Fillion's going to treat you a little special in an evening with Castle, I think that's worth sitting through RBS.
I agree. Yeah.
Speaking of RBS, time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What you got for us?
And speaking of PaleyFest 2012, as you know, it is the event that happens every year from the Paley Center for Media. They put on a series of evenings with some of your favorite TV shows. The cast and creators of these shows sit down at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills, a very intimate little theater, and they do, basically what it is, it's moderated, it's a panel, and they do tell you about the history of the show and how it's put together, and they tell you anecdotes, and they take Q&A from the audience. It's a great, great evening if you're a TV geek like me. It's always an amazing event. They have some of the biggest shows on television.
I've gone to the Dexter one, and it's fantastic. They go behind the scenes.
Every year they got a great bunch of shows. This year is no exception. One of the shows they will be talking about on March the 14th is Modern Family.
Oh, that's a good show.
One of the funniest comedies on television. Consistently laugh out loud funny, and also it is a unique show in the sense that it's very funny but also very real and very grounded, and you believe these characters and you believe the relationships. It's brilliantly written, wonderfully acted. The cast and creators of Modern Family will be there on March the 14th. You can check it out. Here's the trivia question. Let's talk about Ed O'Neill, who plays Jay Pritchett on the show. He is brilliant on that program and has been a great actor for a long, long time and has done a lot of television. Of course, everyone knows Married with Children was probably his big break, but he's done a bunch of TV series. Remember John from Cincinnati on HBO?
Oh, yeah.
He was great on that show.
Totally forgot about that.
If you know Ed O'Neill's career at all, then this will be an easy trivia question for you. One of the first two callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067 will be our winner. Here's your trivia question. In 2003, Ed O'Neill played an iconic TV character in a reboot of a legendary TV cop show. If you know the name of that series, call now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. If you know the name of the series, you'll be a winner, and you'll get to spend the evening with the folks from Modern Family, thanks to PaleyFest 2012.
You don't know, man.
By the way, I wanted to talk about the fact that Paley is doing something very unique this year. You can go to paleycenter.org for more information, but you can download an app where you can watch the evenings with live streaming on your phone.
That's awesome.
They also will be live streaming on Livestream. And they will also have it archived on Hulu On Demand. You can go to Hulu and watch the shows after they're over in case you want to see it. They're going to be taping all these, and you'll be able to see it either live or on demand after the fact. So,
it's fantastic.
Usually, you know, only the people in the room get to experience this. This year, they're opening up to a lot more people, so it'll be very cool. That would be wrong to do. I'm a little panicked because it's 7 o'clock.
We didn't leave you much time.
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
But I do have time for at least a couple stories. Celebrity boxing. Number 37 just announced who will be stepping into the ring together. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest celebrity boxing ever.
All right.
Celebrity boxing number 37. It is, in this corner, the Baywatch heartthrob. You know him as Hobie. Jeremy Jackson, everybody. Jeremy Jackson in this corner. In the other corner, Lorenzo Lamas.
Oh.
Lorenzo Lamas battling Jeremy Jackson. Now, Jackson, keep in mind, is coming off a third-round TKO of Coolio. So this promises to be the celebrity smackdown of the year. You're not going to want to miss out on Jeremy Jackson versus Lorenzo Lamas, who I'm sure will come out with a laser pointer and show you all the parts of Jeremy's body that don't look so good.
That's true.
Happening at the Commerce Casino.
It just gets better and better.
It is pretty much the mecca for celebrity boxing, really. The center of the celebrity boxing world is the Commerce Casino in Commerce, California. It's happening April the 28th. So get your tickets. They go on sale March 5th. You might want to, you know, just sit by your computer between now and March 5th so you can make sure
you
get your tickets. But I was very excited about that. And Jennifer Lawrence from Hunger Games and A Winter's Bone has announced that she would like to strip nude for the right movie.
I would like that too.
21-year-old actress has said she just hasn't found a script yet that makes her want to appear naked on the big screen. But so far I haven't found a film I'd love to be naked in, she tells the UK version of Glamour magazine. But I certainly never look at an actress naked in a movie and judge her. It's a human body, which is a beautiful thing, right? So stay tuned, she says. Yes! I gotta go. I gotta write a screenplay. I have to go write a quick screenplay about a girl who's always naked.
Do it. Why won't she put on clothes is the name of it.
That's right. Just, hey, Lady Godiva. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We
I think
do.
We do. Russell, I think, on line 7 may know the answer. Russell, classic television actor Ed O'Neill, one of the best working, in 2003 recreated a famous television role in the reboot of what famous TV series?
Dragnet.
Dragnet was right. He played Joe Friday in the reboot of Dragnet. Didn't last for too long, but he was real good in it. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, and you're going to spend the evening with the cast and creators of Modern Family.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Also, congratulations to Joseph. He was our other winner. Today's celebrity birthdays, Bryce Dallas Howard, beautiful and talented actress, is 31 years old today. Chris Martin of Coldplay turns 35. Daniel Craig, James Bond himself, 44 years old. Surfer Laird Hamilton is 48. John Bon Jovi of the band Bon Jovi is 50 years old today, and singer Lou Reed is not walking as quickly on the wild side as he used to. He is 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I get tired of a lot of songs we play here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Not that one, though.
No, there are some that just seem
still loving the Black Keys.
Last forever.
K-Rock's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2012 completely sold out Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Phenomenal lineup. Our friend Eddie Izzard is going to be there. Jay Moore, yes, Larry King, Bob Saget, Jim Jeffries, Eddie If, Tim Minchin, Brad Williams, Felipe Esparza, all on one bill. We got tickets you can win. It's completely sold out now, thanks to you, yesterday. But we got tickets you can win. If you want to call right now at 1-800-520-1067, we'll give you a chance to play for those tickets coming up. By the way, speaking of comedians, I don't believe we've ever had Mr. Mark Maron on the Kevin and Bean Show before, but he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Mark, how are you, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Good to talk to you, Mark. Of course, a longtime famous comedian and also the host of the most popular comedy podcast on iTunes, the WTF Podcast. I know you're in Florida right now, and I've been hearing you this week with, it seems like, a little bit of excitement, but also a little bit of dread heading down there. How's it treating you so far?
Well, you never know what you're going to get down here. Florida's a weird place. I never know really what's happening. The weather's always nice. People don't really seem to want to go indoors. It's not the best opportunity to do a big show. And of course, my mother's here. So there's a lot of obstacles to me coming to Florida.
It is so funny, and I was going to bring up your mom. It's so funny that no matter how old you get, it still screws you up when you have to interact with your parents in any kind of capacity. When does it ever get comfortable with your parents?
I don't know. I think the best you can do is get comfortable, in your own mind with that. But she came to my show last night. They came to my show last night for like her, my aunt, my uncle, my cousins. It was ridiculous.
Now, does that make you think, I need to maybe change this or that or not say this or that?
No, it makes me think, like, had you done a better job, I wouldn't be up here. Look what you did to me. See what I have to do for love?
It is funny, Mark. I was just talking to the guys about you because I'm a frequent listener to the podcast, and you are one of those comedians who seems to be the tortured artist. Like, you're a guy who seems to be into comedy because you somehow got screwed up along the way. Do you find yourself constantly trying to figure that out, or have you given up trying to self-analyze yourself at this point?
Well, no, I don't know if I'm a tortured artist. I'm just tortured, and I found a pretty good market for it. So it took me, 25 years to do it. I mean, I think I'm better than I used to be, but then you get to the point where as soon as you start doing okay, like the podcast is good, the stand-up shows are selling out, and I'm doing well, then I feel better about myself, and then you wonder, like, well, that's not good for business. I better figure out a way to stay a little bit miserable and a little bit neurotic in order to keep going.
To stay funny, sure.
That doesn't seem to go away. I mean, I do feel a little bit better about myself, but... The mild insanity and obsession and hostility and stuff, that seems to come and go, and it's not going anywhere.
Was it harder for you, and I don't want to get all deep on you here, I know we only have a few minutes here. Was it harder for you because you are a comedian when you had to transition out of, the drinking days into the sober days? Did you find it like you didn't have any go-to medicate yourself like you had been used to for so long when you gave up the booze?
Well, it was, it became kind of weird to actually remember your sets. And then, look, if you're creative, between coffee, sugar, masturbation, I mean, you got a full buffet of options to get out of yourself. It's not really the party you expected to be having. I didn't want to be hanging out after a show in my room alone, eating ice cream and drinking coffee and masturbating. I mean, that's not a party a lot of people want to hang out at. I mean, at least if you do drugs and drink after a show, you can you know, bring some people over. You know, you want to go hang out? We're doing some, you know, got some booze, some weed. We're going to party. And people be like, yeah, you can't really walk up to people after a show and go, hey, you want to eat some candy and masturbate?
But you shouldn't. You shouldn't say that.
Yeah. Right. It's a different kind of party.
You should probably keep that to yourself because people would be like, no, I'm not doing that. And then you just have to go, well, I'm still going to do it, you know. So.
All right, Bean, we're running out of time. You better ask him about Weird Al.
Well, I don't have to ask him. I don't have to ask him about Weird Al. Look, I was just so happy that you had Al on the podcast because I believe that, and maybe you do too, Mark, that Weird Al is the greatest human in the world. And it was a fantastic interview, and I encourage all Al fans to check it out from a few days ago because you just covered the breadth of his entire career. It was one of the most in-depth interviews I think I've ever heard with Al, so thank you for that.
Absolutely, and the interesting thing is that, you know, I have a lot of respect for Al, but, like, I wasn't one of those kids that grew up, like, I wasn't a Weird Al kid.
Right.
So my curiosity was just to get to know the guy. And sort of put him into perspective for myself and in a way that would honor people that were fans of him. And, God, what a sweet guy. I mean, I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I mean, just the nicest
he's
guy
tremendous.
In the world. Yeah, very aware of who he is and what he does and, you know, and very into, you know, he just sees himself as a family entertainer now. And I think that's amazing when you get multiple generations of a family that can come watch a show. And this guy is, and people love him. I had a great time talking to him.
This is Mark Maron on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I can tell we're going to run out of time quickly and have so many more questions for Mark. We're going to have to invite you to come in and see us sometime when you're in L.A. because we do. I want to talk to you about all these crazy cats you have and all the other stuff that's going on. But real quick, Mark, a day in the life. That's why we got the opportunity to talk to you today. It's coming to Hulu. This is the show we've talked to Morgan Spurlock about where he profiles interesting people and what they do throughout the course of a day. There's a whole bunch of them up on Hulu right now, and your episode is going to be starting March 12th. What kind of day did he come to you and tape you on? Because I imagine your days vary pretty wildly depending on where you are and what you're doing.
Well, no, he taped me at home, so the day really consisted of me feeding cats, making coffee for 2 hours, trying to get my girlfriend to come out of her room,
interviewing. How to sell a show.
Oh, yeah. No, dude, this is... Look, I don't like watching myself that much, but when I saw the rough cut of this thing, they're really good at editing, and they were really thorough with the interview, and their camera crew was great. They were with me the entire day at my house. I interviewed Mindy Kaling that day, and we're going to drop that episode when they put their episode up. My episode of their show is the premiere episode, but he really edited it in a funny way, and it was pretty compelling, and I don't say that about me that often.
No, he does a really good job with the show. I've watched a bunch of them. I saw the Girl Talk one, and of course the Branson one was the kickoff. That was the most famous of them. But he's a great director. He really is. And I think it's going to be fun for your fans to kind of see inside your life like that. So I'm very excited about it.
Well, it makes perfect sense. You know, Sir Richard Branson, Mark Maron, I could see how they...
Of course. Of course. Logical leap.
That's called A Day in the Life. You can see it on Hulu. And again, Mark's episode is going to be on March 12th. Check him out on his podcast at WTFpod.com or just get it like I do on iTunes. Follow him on Twitter at Mark Maron. I'm serious about this, Mark. If you have time sometime, we'd love to have you come in studio and spend a little more time with you.
I'd love to come down anytime, guys.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Have fun in Florida. Say hi to the mom.
I will. Thank you, guys.
Nathan Fillion from the TV show Castle joins us in just a few minutes. Doug Benson next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, how about some tickets to the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2012? By now, you know, great lineup. Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Thanks again for buying your tickets yesterday. We want to give away some tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067. What's this game called?
Famous little people. Famous little people. They're not like you or me. They're little. They're really, 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 really many.
Omar Zombie, we appreciate that intro. Famous little people.
Manson.
Was it supposed to be Manson?
I thought
it was Rob Zombie.
I don't know.
We're talking about famous little people because, of course, our friend, little person Brad Williams is going to be on the bill. So we thought, what better way to give away tickets to people with this game, famous little people. So all of the answers
famous
are going to be
little people, famous little people.
All the answers are going to be little people related. 1-800-520-1067. Who's our first contestant to put someone in the drawing to win these tickets?
That would be Anton. Hello, Anton.
Good morning. How are you?
Anton, thanks for hanging on. Listen up. Here's question number one. At 4'8", and what do we do? What do we hear the cutoff is, Kevin? Is it 4'10"? You have to be under 4'10".
I've heard 4'11".
Okay. But. At 4'8", this now dead little person was best known for asking, what's happening, Willis, on TV's Different Strokes?
That would be Gary Coleman.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Famous little people. Famous little people. people.
Nice job. Let's go to Lionel. Hi, Lionel.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Lionel, oddly enough, is an engineer.
Absolutely.
Right, Lionel?
Here's your question. Listen up, famous little people. Perhaps the busiest little person working in show business today. You've seen him in hit movies like Elf and the Chronicles of Narnia, but he recently won an Emmy for his role as the imp on HBO's Game of Thrones. He is 4'5". Who is he?
That is Peter Dinklage.
You're right. Congratulations.
Famous little people. Famous little people.
I would have bet against him knowing that. That's crazy.
He's famous, though, Peter Dinklage.
I know, but I wouldn't know his name. Shane, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Of course, we can't go by what I would get either, because I would win zero of our contests.
Maybe the most famous little person of the past 15 years. He co-starred along with Mike Myers in all three Austin Powers movies. He played the character.
Vern Troyer.
Vern Troyer is correct. Easy, dude. Let him get by to the point where he's 2'8".
He's 2'8". He's a little person among little people, isn't he?
He's half the size of Gary Coleman.
Congratulations.
Famous little people. Famous little people.
Nice job.
Wow, 3-for-3 already. All right, who's next?
Next, we have Glenn. Hi, Glenn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Collectively, they were the most popular little people of the 20th century when they appeared in one of the most beloved films of all time, The Wizard of Oz. What are they known as in that movie?
That'd be the Munchkin.
Yeah.
Famous little people, famous little people.
I gotta tell you, our audience is on it when it comes to little people.
What the hell is going on?
We know our stuff. Let's go to Jose. I don't think we've ever had five in a row.
No.
I don't think so.
Jose, hi.
Good morning.
Don't blow it, dude. There's been four in a row now.
Are you going to be the one to disappoint us? Seriously?
I have to now.
All right, here we go. At 3'8" tall, Kenny Baker was small enough to work inside the robot who played C-3PO's constant companion in the Star Wars movie. Speaking in just beeps and whistles, what was this character called?
R2-D2.
Nice. Look at that.
All right, you want to do one more just for grins?
Why? We have five in a row. We have five. You want somebody to lose?
I do.
All right. Let's go to Saul. Hi, Saul.
Hi there.
We are actively rooting against you. I've been
awesome. I hope you fail. We first fell in love with this little person when we saw him kicking himself in his own forehead on the Jackass TV show. Then he went on to appear in all the Jackass movies, too. Who is he?
He goes by Wee Man, right?
Yes, he does.
Famous little people. Famous little people.
Now you got to stop. We have six people to choose from.
We're out of time. We're not going to get to the Oompa Loompas, Emmanuel Lewis, or Dr. Ruth, I guess. But somebody will win tickets to see Brad Williams and the whole lineup in April Foolishness. Lisa, who's it going to be?
Glenn is the winner.
Yeah! Glenn! Line 4. Hey, Glenn, congratulations.
You got
tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Way to go.
You guys hung up on me.
No, thanks for playing.
Famous little people. Famous little people.
Tonight. Blah, 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 blah. Tonight, blah, blah, blah.
He's going to carry her home. That's romantic.
Whatever.
That's
whatever.
Romantic. That's very romantic.
Oh, these songs that get in the way of all the things that are good on this show.
What's your rush here, Ralph?
We've got Nathan Fillion on the phone, people.
We're getting right to him. We had to
You're not getting right to him. You know what you're doing? You're talking right now. You're not getting right to him.
Ralph came in and said, don't screw this up, people.
Let's go. This is very important.
We interview lots of people all the time,
but
Ralph.
Not
we're capable
the stars
of doing this.
Of my favorite TV show on the planet, Castle.
Nathan. Hey, Nathan Fillion.
Good morning.
We apologize for Ralph. We're embarrassed already that this is how we're starting today's interview. Sorry about that, sir.
You caught me in the middle of just writing a little thank you note. Dear Ralph.
Oh, that's how it
see?
Is.
See, guys? See
I
what
see
I'm talking
love.
About?
Oh, we'll back out then. Go ahead.
I wish you would. Nathan, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen and ladies?
Good morning.
Oh, I like it, the romantic music. You know, I am a super fan. You know that, Nathan. I'm a huge fan of Castle. And I got to tell you, I think this season has been your best one yet.
Why, thank you very much.
I think so as well.
The writing has been tremendous this year.
You know, I get to work, and every once in a while, you know, everybody's, you know, there's different things going on at work all the time. Whenever you guys mention our show, everybody gets all a flutter at work.
A flutter? Yeah. They need to work on that.
You mean the guys that work on your show listen to our show?
That's correct.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, we gave away tickets for the Paley Fest Evening with Castle already that you guys are doing. That should be quite the night.
Then that's what I heard. I heard you guys were giving away tickets. And you know what I said? I said, you know what? I'm going to call them up. I'm going to send them some stuff to give away with the tickets so that whoever they're giving the tickets to can get like a handful of swag.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's amazing. Thank you, sir.
You know what? No other shows have done that.
Nope.
No other shows, Castle.
You know how many other shows have done that? None.
And I'll tell you, every year we get involved with the Paley Center for Media, and we give out tickets to their Paley Fest. And I got to tell you, the Castle tickets were the one people wanted the most. We got the most response when we gave away those seats. People can't wait to spend the evening with you guys and the creators of the show.
And
the rest
by
of the
you
cast.
Guys, we mean Stanikotic.
Well, that doesn't obviously. Hurt. That's a bit of a draw.
Let's be honest.
But a couple quick questions, Nathan. I heard rumor that there may be sort of a mini Firefly reunion on the show coming up. Is this true?
That is absolutely true. We actually have Adam Baldwin coming to join us for an episode.
That's awesome. Have you guys started shooting that episode yet?
We have not. We have not. That's one episode away. So we're going to finish off this one we just started, and then we're going to start with that one.
It's going to be fun to work with him again, huh?
It's going to be a blast. He's been really busy. He's been working a lot.
Yeah, Chuck, of course, for many seasons. Yeah,
exactly. So now that he's freed himself up a little bit, I managed to steal him.
Also, the fans would not forgive me if I didn't ask this question. It was a little bit of a tease a couple weeks ago. Are we going to learn more about Castle's dad sometime this season, or are you guys going to hold on to that?
Well, they introduced that idea, right? They bring that forward. And you know, Castle's not the kind of guy to go chasing after that kind of information, but it's out there. We started it.
Oh, how great if Castle's dad was with the CIA. That'd be so awesome.
If you could cast Castle's dad, who would you cast?
Oh, that's a good question.
If you could cast Castle's dad.
Had to be somebody really cool and like a spy adventure kind of guy.
Weird Al.
Weird Al? Yeah, that'd be a good
That'd be
good
my choice,
I think. Do you have any ideas, Nathan? Who would you like to see play your dad?
You know who I was just hanging out with that I thought would be great is Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, he would be great.
He's good in everything.
Good actor.
He's so charming.
Yeah, you'd have to put a lot of age on him, though, to be your dad.
He'd put a little gray on his temples, that's all.
Are you looking forward to the Paley Fest evening? I know, you know, sometimes people think it's a bit of a drag to get into a room with your fans and deal with the Q&As and the questions and that kind of stuff, but the Castle fans are so hardcore.
Oh, my God, that's like, okay, so first of all, we get a day off of work.
Mm-hmm, which is good.
And then you get a whole room full of people that'll laugh at all your crappy jokes.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm in.
So that's good. That's all good in your opinion.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that kind of thing.
Do you find that your fans are hardcore? They seem to probably retain a lot of information, ask you a lot of picky little questions that maybe you don't even remember. Do they act that way?
Yeah, you know, but it's always nice because you get that kind of connection. I mean, you don't get a lot of connection with fans when you're at work filming a TV show. So when you get to be in a big room and they're all excited and they're really thrilled to be there and they get to ask a question, you get to see exactly where their minds are at. So that's kind of cool as well.
You know, this season, one of my favorite episodes, Nathan, was the Blue Butterfly episode where you did the film noir.
Yes, the 40s episode.
The 40s episode was tremendous. And
if it was silent, it would have been better.
No, you're thinking of The Artist, Kevin.
Oh,
that's
The Artist, sorry.
There's a little music in that one, a little singing. I was wondering, you know, I think a Castle musical episode in your future would be a great idea for everyone to start breaking in the song at some point.
Do you have an idea for a mystery behind the music?
First questions first. Can you sing?
Oh, sure he can.
I can carry a tune in a bucket.
All right. Yeah. All right. Dr. Horrible's proven that. And I know Stana sings as well, right?
Jeez, yes. She can sing.
I'm telling you, Castle the Musical. This is the way to go.
I like it.
I'm pitching it right now.
There was a bit of a beat there.
I'm making a call right now. Hang on. I'm on the other line.
Okay. There was a beat before I like it, though, and that beat told a lot.
Yeah, it spoke volumes, didn't it? Well, Ralph, it's time for you to get back into the lab and start writing a screenplay.
That's right. I'm going to pitch this story idea. I'm going to be a huge, huge success with Castle the Musical. We can put it on Broadway. Let's do it with the full nine yards. Let's do it.
All right. Five, six, seven, eight.
Jazz hands.
I have been laying back because I don't want Ralph to accuse me of stealing his time with his boyfriend, Nathan Fillion, here on the Kevin Beard Show. But I have to ask this question and find out if you two guys are really as compatible as Ralph thinks you are. Ralph's Monday night involves 2 hours of The Bachelor and then right into the castle. How do you come down on that, Mr. Fillion?
Hello?
That's a pretty good warm-up, I'll say. That's a pretty good warm-up.
Yeah, it gets me. Well, see, the wife loves The Bachelor, and I sit down with her, and we watch that together, and then we just work our way right into Castle. It's a perfect evening of television.
Are you spending your Monday nights watching The Bachelor, too, so you and Ralph will have something to talk about?
I spend my Monday nights at work.
Yes, right.
I'll get an answer. Okay.
But it's all ABC. It's all ABC, so it's all good.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I will be there at the Paley Fest that evening, sir. I'm going to try to make my way backstage and say hello real quickly if I can.
Ralph will be the guy dominating all the questions from the audience.
Yeah.
grab another one. Microphone.
I have another one.
I have another one. On page 74 of the Nikki Heat novel.
And I'll be asking those kind of trivia questions.
When you and the host are pulling at the microphone and you pull it out of his hand and you hit yourself in the teeth with it.
That's right.
That'll happen.
It's going to be funny. Ralph, an evening with Castle, I know it's coming up on March 9th, which is just next week, but is it sold out? Can you still get tickets for it or no?
I think it's already sold out.
Yeah. I think it's already sold out. I think your best chance of getting a ticket is actually with you guys.
Yeah. Okay. And also, as Ralph has been talking about all week long, also go to Paley, the Paley Center website, and now there's an app where you can actually stream the thing live. You can actually watch it if you can't be there in person. At least you can see it.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, they're going to do it. There's an app where you can stream it live. It's going to be a live stream as well, and Hulu is going to have it on demand after the fact so people can watch it. It'll be archived for them.
There's now all sorts of reasons I'm glad I called you guys.
That's right. Exactly. See, we're very informative, Nathan.
Nathan, it's very rare that we get a big-time star out of the blue who calls and says, let me come on the show. But we appreciate it, and you are always welcome, my friend. Thank you for the time.
It's very rare that someone calls me a big-time star.
Funny man, Doug Benson joins us next on The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, looking ahead, a ridiculous next week on The Kevin and Bean Show. Sean Hattisey from Southland is going to be joining us.
Oh, I love Sammy.
NASCAR legend Jeff Gordon on the program next week. The great William Shatner will be here. Ralph. Taylor Kitsch talking about John Carter on the show next week. Lana Del Rey performing live in studio. I mean, it's a ridiculous week, right?
Maybe we can just play her record.
No, she's going to be good.
No, can we just play her record, though?
We can do that, too, but she's going to be good. I'm excited about it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
But what are you saying specifically?
I'm just saying.
Specifically.
I think she's going to be terrific. I'm a big fan. Long time.
Yeah.
Her.
That's what Lauren Michaels said.
With the Showbiz Beat coming up right now on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, people very happy with our Nathan Fillion interview. Can we call him back real quick? Can we talk to Nathan?
I don't think so.
Come on!
I think pretty much that was it.
No,
he's moving
more
on
to talk
with his
about.
Day.
People suggesting actors to play his dad on Castle.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you saw the episode, but it was alluded to that his dad, who left his life early on under mysterious circumstances, may have been a CIA agent.
I did see that.
And people speculating these would be good people to play his dad. Pierce Brosnan.
Sure.
Great choice,
great choice, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Victor Garber, of course, has history playing both a dad and a spy on Alias.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Alec Baldwin.
Wow. Sure.
He'd be a funny dad for Castle.
You sort of need a guy with a sense of humor.
Yeah,
Castle's
I think so,
dad.
For Castle, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all good choices. Also, it is Paley Fest. We were talking about that with Nathan Fillion. On March 8th, the Paley Fest 2012, we'll be spending an evening with the cast and creators of Bones, another one of my favorite shows. The Paley Fest is just made for me. That's what they do. They just say, what TV shows would Ralph like to spend the night with?
This is for Ralph.
Happens at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills on March the 8th. I've got two pairs of tickets. Yeah, two pairs of tickets.
Sounded like a question.
I wasn't sure how many I had. They just added this one to the lineup. They weren't even announced originally. So I just want to say, Ralph Garman does an episode of a show. Boom. It becomes the hottest show, and the Paley people want to talk to them.
You
about
did the
it.
Bones,
just,
didn't you?
I just did a Bones. And I have to say, to those who asked, yes, the black leather jacket does make an appearance in Bones. So the streak continues.
Are you serious?
The streak continues.
Everything Ralph does, he goes to the wardrobe and they go, I just wear that.
Yeah, I do. I walk in and they go, hey, that jacket looks good on you. Let's put you in that. I was like, everything I do on television now, I'm wearing the black leather jacket.
It's Bobby
on the house wore the black leather jacket. Now Morgan Donnelly.
Oh, that's
my character.
You're not
on,
Bobby. You didn't carry
house,
Bobby over
no.
to Bones.
No, I'm Morgan Donnelly, and he wears the black leather jacket on Bones.
I see.
Anyway, if you'd
Aren't
like,
people going to go? Isn't that Bobby's jacket?
No, they won't, because I'm a chameleon. I play a role, I'm a completely different person.
I see.
I'm unrecognizable. Right. I change myself from the inside out.
Right.
If you'd like to spend the evening with Bones, and why wouldn't you? The Emily Deschanel. David Boreanaz, just a great cast of people over there and a great crew. They were so kind to me when I did the show over there. I really appreciated it. The Evening with Bones, here's your trivia question. First two people to get through it, 1-800-520-1067, who know the answer, will get a pair of passes. Here's the trivia question. Bones, Temperance Brennan on the show, played by Emily Deschanel. She and the show are based on a real-life forensic scientist and author.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you know the name of the real-life forensic scientist and author that the show was loosely based on, she's also one of the producers of the show, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Give us her name, and you will be one of our lucky winners.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda is not the correct answer, Larry. I'm sorry. We keep telling you that. There will be no Ghostbusters 3. This according to Dan Aykroyd, who has been the biggest cheerleader of the project for the years he's been trying to develop it. The original was 1984, the sequel 1989, and Aykroyd's been trying to get a third one
up and running ever since. Well, the sad news is they finally have a definitive answer from Bill Murray, and that answer is no.
Boop. It's only one tuba note worth of sadness.
There you go.
There we go. Bean now doesn't have the patience to play entire clips from his machine.
I don't have 4 seconds.
Boop. Murray famously said he hadn't read the script, he hadn't made up his mind, but now he is out.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
So Dan Aykroyd says without Murray, it's kind of hard to imagine the project going forward. Murray called the idea of another sequel at his point my nightmare.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, don't be mean about it. A lot of people want to see
it. He seems like an old grouch these days. He seems like he doesn't have an agent. He doesn't have a phone. You can't get a hold of him. He just wants to golf. He doesn't want to do anything.
That's what Aykroyd said. He says he doesn't want to be involved. He's got 6 kids, houses all over America. He golfs in these tournaments where they pay him to turn up and have a laugh. He's into his life and living it. I know we'd have a lot of fun, but I can't be mad at him. He's a friend first and a colleague second. We have a deep personal friendship that transcends business, and he doesn't want to do it. So what are you going to do?
And then he just shows up in the most random movies, like he was in that Robert Duvall funeral movie last year.
Right.
Just like tiny little low-budget things. It's just weird.
He's playing Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the upcoming film White House on the Hudson, I think it's called, or whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
Bill Murray?
Yeah, playing President Roosevelt, interestingly enough. But he won't be playing Dr. Peter Venkman again, so sad news for all us fans of Ghostbusters. We have answered my trivia question. I think Kim has the answer. Kim? Hello, Kim?
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi.
You a big Bones fan?
Yes, very much.
What's the name of the real-life forensic pathologist and author that Bones Brennan is based on?
Kathy Reich.
Kathy Reich, indeed, yes.
Yay!
Very successful author writing about things that just like Bones. Hold on, we're going to give all the details, but you are going to spend the evening with the cast and creators of Bones for the Paley Fest.
Awesome, yay!
Congratulations also to Jennifer. She's going as well. And I don't know, maybe the black leather jacket will make an appearance that night. If you play your cards right. Because, yeah, that's kind of bonuses you get. Nathan Fillion calls in, gives free castle stuff away to our winners. Right. Morgan might show up in his black leather jacket.
Wow.
Yeah,
that'd be
exciting.
Something for him to show up in that jacket.
I don't want to say my role is small. But I will let you know that before the episode begins, I'm dead.
Before it starts. So when we begin at Bones, you're a dead body.
At the outset of my particular episode, my character is dead.
So as far as lines, you have none.
I have several, but it's in a very strange way that they present themselves.
It's Morgan.
Matt, there we go. That's my new jingle. How did that happen so quickly?
Omar does good work.
He sure does. Today's celebrity birthdays, Bryce Dallas Howard's 31 years old today. Singer Chris Martin of Coldplay's 35. Daniel Craig, James Bond himself, 44 years old. Surfer Laird Hamilton is 46. John Bon Jovi of Bon Jovi fame is 50. And Lou Reed, member of the Velvet Underground famously and a great solo career, he is 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
My name is Doug Benson, and I'm here to recruit you to smoke weed. Or not give other people smoke weed. They have a saying in Seattle, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and then shoot yourself in the face.
Do you smoke pot?
No.
Asshole.
It says here I was in Vegas recently. It didn't work out so good for me. I lost $500 gambling on prostitution. Marijuana helps me to appreciate the smaller things in life, like my penis.
I've been working on a new orgasm noise.
Oh! Nice, right? Wouldn't be proud of herself pulling that reaction out of her man.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the man you came to see. Give it up for Mr. Doug Benson.
Oh, what a lucky young lady she would be indeed. Doug Benson joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see him. See, he's enjoying himself already. You can see him Sunday night on stage at 7 o'clock at the Ontario Improv. Go to OntarioImprov.com for just $20 and appearing with Adam Carolla at the Irvine Improv on March 8th. How are you, man?
I'd like to start with a question, and that is why when we heard that intro and that sound, did you shake your head no like, oh, this is embarrassing?
There's something about someone else just picking a bunch of random jokes from my act and stringing them together that makes me like, oh, I wouldn't have, that's not a choice I would have made. I can't believe I said that once. I don't know why it's being replayed.
Now replaying it.
Yeah. But, you know, it's
you said it.
It's fun. It's better than
You guys do a lot better job than a lot of places. When you show up, what they think is like your best stuff is can be rather
well. I don't want you to feel bad about this or worry, but we've saved that clip for your obit package if they come to us for help. Okay, so
we're working on those at the same time.
If only Whitney Houston had made that noise.
See, there you go.
They would have played the crap out of it.
Yeah. Now, Doug, I know you have many things going on. You're a very busy young man, and it's amazing, as high as you are, that you're able to get as much done as you do.
I know, it's really ridiculous.
You're crazy. But you were at Lead Up last night, which was a Club Nokia. We had Kevin Pereira on last week telling us about it. Like, this was the first time they have done Lead Up. For folks who weren't with us when we were talking to Kevin, tell us what it was like.
Well, I think it was the first and last one. And,
is that right?
No, I'm just kidding. It was really weird. It was at Club Nokia, so I was excited just to be on that stage because that's where Pee Wee Herman did his show for a while,
right?
And and there was just a huge audience of nerds, I guess, for lack of a better word, who just love all things, you know,
nerdy.
From the nerd culture. And I was on the podcast panel, so I was on with Kevin Smith and Chris Hardwick and Greg Fitzsimmons, and we just sat on stage and just talked about stuff in front of an audience. And then
was the audience into it?
Yeah, they were for the most part. There was a section in the back that was kind of chatty, and I kind of gave them a heart, yelled at them at one point.
Y'all turn this car around.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why would you go to something like that and then stand in the back and talk? It's not like we're a band. So that's what they were talking about. When are they going to play a song? So, but then they did this thing where they got somebody up out of the audience and they had me compete against an audience member doing who could do the biggest bong hit.
All right.
On stage.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, I was pleasantly surprised that they wanted that to happen and then it did.
Did you get in trouble?
Security didn't grab me and escort me from the room. I think I won.
I don't remember.
I'm not sure. They were handing me drinks the whole night, and I think I was the only person there drinking, in the panel. And so then this morning, I was just grateful I set my alarm for this today at three in the afternoon yesterday.
Before you left.
I was like, I'm going to the Lead Up tonight, and I have to do Kevin and Bean in the morning. I better set the alarm now. And so when it went off this morning, I was like, it was one of those mornings, when you wake up and it's daylight outside and you think, oh, it's 10 or 11, and I've totally slept through what I was supposed to go do.
And I'm not even sure what that was that I was supposed to go do. Yeah, that's a crazy
Yeah, when you
mindset.
Wake up, you're like, oh, there was something I'm supposed to be at. Oh, it's only 6. Okay, great.
You seem like the kind of guy who ought to be like the dude in Memento who's always tattooing your appointments on your skin, because otherwise how you're going to remember everything.
Yeah. And I recently, in Incredibly Loud and Extremely Cloying or whatever that was called.
Yes.
Max von Sydow has yes and no written on his hands because he doesn't speak. Right. And I was like, that is brilliant. So it's fading off, but I wrote no on my hand.
I see no on your left hand, yeah.
So on my podcast, when I want to talk and someone keeps going, I just hold up the no hand.
Sweet.
and then I can get a word in.
I like that.
On my own show.
You have to write a no on your hand so that you can talk on your podcast.
Yeah, because I
great idea.
Because all my guests are comedians, sometimes many, several at the same time.
Sure.
And sometimes guys like Jeff Garland need to have a nice a nice no signal.
Speaking of your podcast,
like when you guys have Bobby Slayton on here, you just leave the room for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of your podcast, and we have so much ground we want to cover with you in just a few minutes here, Doug, but I have to ask, because you're Doug Love Movies. Kevin refuses to see The Artist, says it is hipster BS, it only won the Academy Award because it's black and white and silent, people think they look smart if they like it. He doesn't believe that anyone saw that movie and actually enjoyed
it. It's like
it.
An indie band that doesn't make any noise.
It doesn't. First of all, you're not smart at all if you like it. It doesn't take any kind of intellectual capacity to enjoy it.
That's not what I said. I said other people think you're smart if you like it.
Oh.
That's a whole different
reason.
But I want
to know what
I guess so. I don't know.
What did you think of the movie?
I thought pretty much all the same things that Kevin thought about it prior to seeing it. And felt and went kind of like, well, I guess I gotta go kind of attitude. And then I was really charmed by it. There's a couple of stretches that get kind of boring. But to make a full-length silent film and pull it off like they do is pretty amazing.
It's a
really good movie, right?
It is.
It's a trick.
It's a good movie, but it's also
it reminded me of like Woody Allen just won for Midnight in Paris, which to me is another example of it's a good Woody Allen movie, but it's not a great Woody Allen movie. It's just good because he's made so many bad ones over the last few years that you're just happy that it's not terrible. But everybody's praising it so much. But to me, that movie's just as much a gimmick as The Artist. It's just like, oh, Owen Wilson can hang out with Ernest Hemingway.
The Oscars don't exist in a vacuum. Yeah, there's always going to be relativity in the voting. You are always comparing it to what else is out there, what this filmmaker has done before, what the other movies are that it's nominated against. I mean, you can't just look at it on its own.
Yeah, well,
merits,
that's the thing about
what the plan is.
That's the thing about The Artist is, Bean, do you know the name of the movie they did prior to The Artist? Because the same director and his wife and Jean Desjardins made a spy spoof that is supposedly hilarious. Like people,
no idea.
People
never even heard. Never even heard they had another movie.
It's called like OS-119. It's got the worst title for a pothead to remember. But everybody's raving about that. So I'm gonna go check that out just on the strength of it really is the artist is it is impressive that they pull off what is essentially a gimmick. That they turn it into something that is pretty decent.
But half gimmick.
I would have given it to
still gimmick.
Moneyball's a better movie.
I agree. That's what I thought. Yeah. All right. We're
what
on the same
thought?
Page.
You didn't go. You can't say what you
I saw Moneyball. I saw Moneyball three times.
I have a lot of opinions about movies I haven't seen.
Here's what I know about The Artist. There's no talking from people, but they can't stop the dog from going, that's what I know.
In the nightmare seat, exactly. All right. So it sounds like Doug's on board with you there, Kevin. We got to take a quick break. Doug Benson is here. We got a bunch of stuff. First of all, Sunday night, March 4th, 7 o'clock at the Ontario Improv. Get tickets for just $20. We also want to talk about this thing you're doing in person at the Amoeba Record Store tomorrow, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And more with our friend Doug when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean.
Just saying, maybe the best movie ever. Maybe. Best movie ever. Piranha 3D, Double D.
Oh, yeah.
Just watching the trailer for that. It's a pretty good movie. Go to KRock.com for that. Doug Benson is in the studio with us. Hi, Doug.
Hello.
What's
Doug,
this?
Did you do the Weezer thing since the last time we talked to you?
Yeah, I went on the Weezer cruise and it was super fun and I remember some of it. It was no 311 cruise in terms of the weed on board.
Right, sure.
It was a little bit more of a straight crowd,
sure.
But still fun people.
Sure.
What's it like for you though being a well-known person? Kind of captive with an audience, and everywhere you go, I imagine everybody wants to talk to you. Everybody wants to take a picture. Everybody wants to smoke out with you. What's that like?
Awesome.
Okay, all right. Good
everybody
answer.
Wants to smoke out with you. What is that like?
Yeah, what's it like?
That's quite a question.
Constantly trying to give you free weed. No, it's every once in a while, it's like, oh man, you know, I'm not into it today or at this moment, but when I go on one of those cruises, I'm pretty much
prepared.
You know, you're just on the boat with everybody, and
right.
you just have to, you know, be ready for that. I guess, you know, mentally, you got to be into the idea of basically having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I guess I could order into my room and be a total shut in on the cruise, but it's pretty fun.
Was it fun seeing Weezer every day on the boat?
Yeah, it was great. They, you know, when we set sail, they played the Blue Album, and then they did shows inside where they played Pinkerton, and it was fun from beginning to end. I hope they do another one. I know 311's doing another one.
Great.
In May. I'm not going to be on that one, but.
You're going to try and get on anyway? I mean, you're going to try and
I really did think, I'll just go on it anyway, even though I'm not performing, because that was really such a good time, and I totally recommend it. But
I'm waiting for the LMFAO party boat. That's the one I want to be on. That one's never going to stop, man. Are you kidding me?
That's going to be quite a party, Bean.
Doug Benson is in studio. He's got a couple of ways for you to hang out with him this weekend, including Sunday night. At the Ontario Improv, tickets on sale for that at 7 o'clock. And then you're doing something at Amoeba Records tomorrow. And I have been to this Amoeba charity thing that they do where they, well, it's movie and music collectibles and memorabilia and concert tickets and stuff like that. And they're raising money for what charity this time around, Doug?
This time they let you choose. And I just blurted out the first one that I could think of because I've done some other stuff for them. And it's a good charity. It's the L.A. Food Bank.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow, a stoner came up with food.
How did you do that?
Yeah. Why isn't this a benefit for normal? What? I'm an idiot. No, but LA Food Bank. And also, I think if you go to Amoeba's website, there's some sort of deal where you get something for bringing any kind of canned food item to the event tomorrow.
Yeah, they give you $2 off if you bring like a can of can of beans or rice or something like that. Peanut butter, those sorts of things. Yeah, that's a great deal. Have you ever been to one of these Amoeba auctions? Because I've been to a bunch of them.
I have not. I've heard of it, and they've been asking me to do it for a while, and so it finally came together that I was in town on a Saturday, because they do it the first Saturday every month with a different personality, and I'm already getting tweets from people saying, you're going to be an auctioneer? That's going to be the slowest, weirdest auction.
Auctioneers usually talk super fast. That's true.
Yeah, I got to get my... $7, $77, $75, $85, I got to get that down.
Does that sound fast to you?
That was really fast talking what I just did. That was like, it sounded like one of the chipmunks.
It's so weird, though, because there's a guy standing on a counter, and he's like, all right, here's a 45 of the Electric Light Orchestra's Don't Bring Me Down. I want $4 for it. Do I have $4 for it? I see $4. And it's just the weirdest stuff that they're auctioning off for people, but it's all for a good cause, so why not, right?
Yeah, I'm completely into it. I would be sad if they said, come stand on a counter in Amoeba Records and try to do your act.
Sure, that's rough.
But to stand there and say, who wants to buy this item, I think that'll be fun.
Hey, Paul McCartney just played Amoeba a couple of months ago, man. This is hallowed ground here. This is not. There's nothing to be ashamed of. This sounds like
fun. He opened for you is the way you could look at it.
As a matter of fact.
Right.
Let me ask you, Bean, how do you feel about Paul McCartney's new album being called Kisses on the Bottom?
Well, when I first heard the title, like everybody, I said, that is the worst title I've ever heard in my life, right?
Right.
Because why is a Beatle kissing anyone's ass?
Yeah.
But then when you see that it's a lyric from the song, I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter, and he's talking about kisses on the bottom of a letter, then at least it makes sense. At least you know what he's talking about now.
Yeah, thank you. Bean is the one person that would know that information.
Still creepy.
It's still a terrible title. He should have said, oh, this would be a good... No, it wouldn't be a good title. Then come up with something else.
He has someone around. He hasn't written anything above a second grade level in a long time, people.
Just call it Kisses. It's a romantic record, right? It's all love songs. So just call it Kisses. But Kisses on the Bottom is just like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, it's Chris Hansen time.
Yeah, it's a bad deal. All right. Well, listen, we're out of time. We're going to have to leave it there. Doug Loves Movies is the podcast. You don't want to miss it. Follow Doug on Twitter, at Doug Benson. You'll see him at the Ontario Improv Sunday night with Adam Carolla at the Irvine Improv on March 8th. Which is going to be what, next like Thursday or something like that?
Yeah.
And then the Amoeba thing tomorrow at 4. You're a busy dude, man. This is too much for you, a guy like you, to cram into 1 week's schedule.
Yeah, it's...
pace yourself,
it's
Doug.
It's too much. I'm gonna go back to sleep now.
Okay, good.
Ever since the reports started coming out a couple of days ago that Snooki from the Jersey Shore was pregnant, all I've wanted to do is get to this moment and talk to LaQuisha, who reviews Jersey Shore for us every Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. LaQuisha, how are you?
I hate you.
What do you think about Snooki possibly being with child?
I think that'd be the best thing ever to happen to television.
Really?
Then maybe she wouldn't have her fat, drunk ass on television anymore.
Oh, you want her to go off television?
Yes, I want her to go into some sort of containment cell where she has that spawn of hers, whatever it's going to be.
You used to like watching
Put
dumb white people.
Put her in the laboratory, see what comes out. And if the first one of you to suggest I start watching the Pauly D Project is going to get cut.
No, that's a given. I mean,
that is not a given.
We're all assuming that's going to take place.
Last night on damn Jersey Shore, all they did was promote their next series, the Pauly D Project, where he takes his posse to Las Vegas to watch him DJ at the Palm. Damn, I thought the worst thing ever to happen to Vegas was nuclear tests. This is worse. Last night's Jersey Shore was a bitter disappointment.
Aw.
Because all they kept promising was finally the situation's going to release the news that he had sex with Snooki while she was away from her boyfriend and cause all kind of hassles and drama and angry fighting. But instead, last night's episode opens up, guess what everybody's doing? They're drinking at a club.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation is trying to pick up on the ladies.
Yeah. I'm just so good with women. There definitely should be a butter named after me because I'm so smooth.
Wow.
Really?
Whoa.
He said that out loud for people to hear?
There should be a cheese named after him because he's so cheesy.
Wow, that's something.
But he does find a girl who's willing to go home with him, believe it or not.
It's never the hottest ones, though, is it?
This girl was very attractive.
She was, okay.
She actually was, and she had large bosoms, and he thought she was DTF, or down to...
Right.
Fornicate.
Fraternize.
Right.
Right.
Well, he got her home, and he got a rude awakening.
Unfortunately, Christy turned into she was down to snuggle, down to make out, and that's it. It's now or never. Situation don't do appointments for next time.
He is so good with the ladies that he kicked her ass out of the house because she wouldn't have sex with him while MTV's cameras were filming it.
and the situation...
That whore! How did she not put out when they've got the night vision goggles on her and they're filming it all?
He honestly has no time for a woman unless she's willing to have sex with him within the first 2 hours of meeting him, right?
2 hours? More like 20 minutes, in my experience. And Paulie's... Paulie thinks he's a ladies' man, too. He loves the ladies. He finds himself a girl last night at the club, and then he's going to take her home, and then he finds out some bad news.
My girl Gina is DTF, for sure. Come to find out, she has, like, her friends this month, and it is what it is. I definitely don't want her to hang around. Take your girl and your tampons with you. See you later.
So he kicked her out because she is in that time of month.
Those guys are so understanding. Yeah. I love it. They're sweet.
Men who love women.
Well, a woman is no good to you for 3 or 4 days a month if she can't perform, right?
J-Wow, though, she knows how to treat her man.
All right.
They're celebrating the one-year anniversary of being together. And so she has plans for them, which includes a whole parcel of sex toys.
For my 1 year, I really don't know what to do. I just figure I'm going to go fun. Fake rose petals with, like, a bunch of bondage things laid out on the bed. Should be a good time. I can't wait to get the vagina mold.
She says she can't wait to get the vagina mold.
Yeah, I was afraid that's what she said.
Which, you can take two ways. One, which is a sex toy where you pour latex into a mold of your own genitalia.
Right.
Or, literally, she has mold on her vagina.
I think B.
I'm guessing the second one. That's not the first time the mold and vagina have been used in the same sentence regarding J-Wow. Well, situation does finally come through on the promise that he's going to break the news to Gianni that he cheated on him with Snooki behind his back. And he's been waiting a long time to spring this trap.
I've been trying to plan this master plan for a number of weeks now. And time is running out. The summer is almost over. It's got to go down.
So let me get this straight. Your master plan, Lex Luthor, is to tell a guy that you slept with his girlfriend.
That's it.
And it took you months to work out this master plan of just saying two sentences.
How is he ever going to execute that well?
How's he going to do it? Well, he's going to get his friend the unit to do it because the unit was there and the unit saw everything. So he brings the unit out with them so he can tell Gianni what happened. And the unit is ready. He is in position to execute the master plan until he has about 97 Jägermeister shots and is so drunk that walking down the street, being carried by the situation, he gets the attention of the police just walking.
No.
I've never really seen Unit this drunk. Unit's so wasted right now that even after like 3 bottles of water, I had to pretty much carry him home. Could just see the future. I'm Sitchtradamus. This is going to get bad.
Sitchtradamus.
Really?
Said
really?
That.
And the police pulled him over. Well, pulled him over. They're walking.
Yeah.
But it throws the unit's ass in jail for public drunkenness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened to the master plan now? How's it going to go down without the big part of the master plan, which
Good
is
question.
The unit? Situation has to think on his feet with his master plan.
With Unit being in jail right now, it's going to be extremely hard for me to really get the truth out to Gianni. And I got to go in mission solo and handle this myself.
It's mission solo.
Shut up.
It's mission solo now.
I can't take it anymore.
Like a Navy SEAL.
I want to punch him in the face so hard.
You know, he's like SEAL Team 6.
He's not. He's nothing like that.
He's SEAL Team 6. He is going to go in there by solo and just try to execute the master plan, which once again is telling somebody something.
One person cannot handle that whole plan.
And so at the end of the episode, he sees Johnny by himself there at the house, and he's going to execute the master plan That's the end of the episode.
What?
We don't get to see him doing. We don't get to see none of the fighting, nothing. That's apparently next week that's going to happen.
Well,
there's another episode. They're airing more Jersey Shores.
Oh, yeah, there's more to come. Because this episode was a lot of goddamn nothing.
We'll talk to you next week, LaQuisha.
I hate you.
Looking forward to it. It's a world famous K-Rock at 8:54.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
That's an outstanding point, Doto. Thank you. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat now on a Friday. What's going on?
Why don't you practice what you preach, Lisa? I'm bringing some bagels in once in a while.
I said I was going to.
You're all busy telling everybody else what to do. Why don't you try following your own advice and bring your coworkers some bagels?
Yeah. I'll bring in some bagels for you on Monday.
Hey, why for him?
Because he's on that diet.
Oh. She wants to just blow him up. Just carb bloat him until he just falls over. We've been talking all morning about the Paley Fest, the amazing event that's held every March by the Paley Center for Media. And a lot of people did not know that you can watch all of these cool evenings with your favorite TV shows on live stream, as I mentioned.
Nathan Fillion didn't know that until we told him last hour.
His own damn show. You can watch it live as it's happening on live stream. You can also download the app so you can watch it on your phone. Go to paleycenter.org for all the details. But
that's
it also
P-A-L-E-Y?
P-A-L-E-Y-Center.org. Yeah, and you can also watch it after the fact on Hulu on demand. So there'll be a lot of ways to watch this, which is cool because usually only the people who get tickets, which sell out almost instantly, get a chance to appreciate these evenings. But now it'll be available for everyone to take a look at. While we're talking about the Paley Fest, another evening in March on the 13th is going to be spent with maybe one of the best TV shows of the past 20 years, Mad Men.
Yay!
Coming back. This month, the end of March, we get to see new episodes of Mad Men. Feels like it's been forever. Can't wait to see that cast back on my screen.
The Draper's kids have got to be in college now, right?
They have to be. Here's your trivia question. If you're a Mad Men fan and you'd like to attend, this should be pretty easy for you. The first two callers who get through with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067 will get a pair of passes to attend an evening with Mad Men at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. Don Draper.
Yes.
The star of the show, played by John Hamm, of course. The women love him. The men want to be him. But even Don Draper isn't Don Draper. That is not his real name. That is his fake identity he's created for himself. What is Don Draper's real name? 1-800-520-1067. Call now. First two people with the right answer.
It's Bobby.
It's not Bobby. Is a Bobby Draper, but okay. it's not Don Draper. Scarlett Johansson is going to be getting naked for her next film.
All right.
This is a weird, weird project.
Tell me.
It's called The Making of Psycho. And it's a movie about the making of the movie Psycho that's already been remade by Gus Van Sant. But now, instead of another remake, they're going to tell the story of making the movie Psycho. Now we're making movies about making movies.
About the original one?
Yes.
And she would be Janet Leigh?
She's playing the Janet Leigh role, exactly, Lisa. And she will be, of course, shooting the scene where she memorably gets butchered while taking a shower naked at the Bates Motel.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I guess it's not that out of line because, let's face it, My Week with Marilyn was a very successful film based on the making of the movie, The Prince and the Showgirl, with Marilyn Monroe and Sir Laurence Olivier. So it's not unheard of, but I just think it's odd to make a movie solely about the making of a movie.
I mean, is there a story behind it?
Apparently so. Apparently Hitchcock, you know, was a genius, but eccentric and sort of hard to work with, famously, called actors cattle.
Nice.
The better part of his career, thought of them just pretty much as set dressing, didn't have much respect for them. Apparently it was a difficult shoot. Janet Leigh had issues about doing the scene in the nude. It was a big gamble at the time to even make that film. Of course, now it's considered a huge success and a classic. But at the time, it was a risky move for Hitchcock to even take on the book that was the center of the movie Psycho. So could be interesting. It certainly will be for Hitchcock fans, but whether it'll find a larger audience or not, we'll have to wait and see.
Well, Scarlett's naked.
But Scarlett's going to be naked, and I think we all should go.
Yeah.
You had me there. I wasn't listening to the rest.
And, of course, famously, if you ever listened to Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith, the remake version of Psycho, Anne Heche plays the role that Janet Leigh did. She's the one who gets murdered in the shower. And famously, if you are quick with your still button.
Yep.
You can view a piece of Anne Heche's anatomy.
Yes, you can.
That was heretofore unseen by the movie-going public.
Not a lot of those.
No, this is a part of the female anatomy, or the male anatomy for that matter, that you rarely get to see on the big screen, and she shows hers in the Psycho remix. So. And Kevin Smith is obsessed with that.
You have to be quick, though.
Became a running joke on our HBO. By the way, which is Saturday night at the John Lovitz Theater, if you want to check it out. You can go to babbleonralph.com or thelovitz.com for tickets and details. 10 p.m. Saturday night, Kevin Smith and I doing our Hollywood Babylon show.
No!
We're talking about movies. Tarzan's no longer allowed to play with jungle cats. That's sad.
What?
An actor named Steve Sippick played Tarzan in a 1970 Tarzan movie. Just one. But he took the role to heart and considered himself a modern-day Tarzan.
Oh, no.
He loved filming the movie so much that he adopted two real-life tigers and a leopard.
Oh, geez.
And lived with them as pets. So he could feel Tarzan-esque there at home.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong with Tarzan and three deadly jungle beasts?
That's a terrible idea.
Well, apparently officials came to Steve's home in, what a surprise, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have the proper permits to own three wild jungle cats, and so they have confiscated the animals from Tarzan, and he is no longer allowed to play with his jungle cats, which is very sad.
It's probably good.
We've been talking all morning about the sad news. It doesn't look like we're ever going to see a Ghostbusters 3, but it looks very much so like we're going to see Top Gun 2. You can be my wingman anytime, Mav. Top Gun 2!
Oh, my God.
With Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise reportedly will have at least a cameo in the film. But they've hired the guy who wrote The Town to write the script for Top Gun 2.
That was well done.
Yeah, it was a great script. Paramount Pictures is going ahead with the sequel. The Town, of course, with Ben Affleck starring and directing, made $150 million worldwide. It was a hit. And so they're bringing him in to script out Top Gun 2.
I don't get excited about a lot of these sequels of taking these 80s movies and bringing it back, but it seems like that is a world that's fascinating enough that there are probably other good stories to be told with that as a jumping off point.
The military, certainly a viable background, I think, for an action film these days. If Act of Valor could do well,
yeah,
right, with no real actors in it. If you brought Top Gun 2 back and you had the further adventures of a squadron of fighter pilots, I think it could be fascinating.
Do you think
they'll
make him gay this time as well? Or
or finally admit that they're gay, you mean? I like Top Gun 2, the Ghost of Goose. That's what I would call it.
Oh, good.
Goose,
I like it.
Goose comes back and haunts everybody's planes. That'd be cool. Get the best of both worlds there. Get a little Paranormal Activity cross with Top Gun.
And like 40 minutes of it would be a volleyball scene.
Yes. Nude. All glistening with baby oil. I'm sorry. Why? Did I say that out loud?
You did.
We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Jennifer on line one may have been the first caller through with the correct answer. Jennifer?
Hello.
What's Don Draper's real name?
His name is Dick Whitman.
Dick Whitman. Yay! That's right. Dick Whitman before he dicks you. That's what I used to say back in the Army.
I never heard you say that. You were never in the Army.
I was in the World War II with Don Draper. Or the Korean conflict, or whichever one he was in. Probably Korean. Yeah. Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to spend the evening with John Hamm and the rest of his cast and the creators of Mad Men.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thanks to Frank also, who was the other winner who called in with the correct answer.
Kelly, can we get you on board with Mad Men this season? I mean, it's been enough of a break now. You'll be starting from scratch like a lot of
people. Depends on if I have time. I have a very busy schedule.
Did you?
So good.
You never watched, did you?
Nah, not ever.
I forgot. It's been so long since it was on television that you never watched Mad Men.
Yeah.
How can it be you've never watched Mad Men?
Well, I don't have time. I have a very
busy
schedule.
Stop saying you don't have time.
I have a very busy schedule.
You don't.
I'm willing to bring in a list of the shows that I watch, and then you guys have to decide to help me decide.
We can easy.
We can trim some shows for Mad Men.
Trim Swamp People. Just give up Swamp People.
Not going to happen.
Trade that in for Mad Men.
That's not going to happen.
That is a big win for you.
Do they have teeth on Mad Men?
Yes, they do.
Then I'm out.
Sorry. Is it because it takes place in the 60s? Are you wigged out because it's a period piece? Is that what the problem is for you?
If I had to guess, I would say yes.
Wow, that's really
great
just,
writing, great acting, great stories, great characters. And every year when it wins the best drama on television, don't you hear that news
mad.
And go, but don't you hear that news and go, maybe I should check it out. It's apparently very good.
I'm always mad that Dexter didn't win it.
You're one season more behind, too, every time that happens.
Listen.
You don't have a busy schedule. Stop saying that.
I have a very busy schedule.
You don't.
I am the busiest man alive.
You aren't.
Look, here my whole thing. We all have to draw the line somewhere at how many shows we can watch.
Right.
We can't watch everything, right? We all have to. But I'm telling you, there's stuff you could give up for Mad Men, and you would be better for it.
I guarantee you 80% of what you watch on television could be traded in for Mad Men.
80%.
Easily.
Kevin, are you watching Wipeout? Are you still watching Wipeout as a perfect example of a Kevin show?
I am not. How about that? Right now, my favorite is Walking Dead. I can't get enough of that.
Asking you to give up The Walking Dead.
That one, but
back off.
But get rid of Swamp People. Don't need Swamp People.
Swamp People is me. How dare you?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bryce.
Ralph would give up Storage Wars for Mad Men if he had to.
If I had to, if that came down to that, I'd make a choice. That is not a hard choice to make. Bryce Dallas Howard is 31 years old today. Beautiful and talented actress and daughter of Ron Howard. Chris Martin of Coldplay, 35 years old. Daniel Craig, James Bond, soon to be seen in Skyfall, the new Bond film, 44 years old. Laird Hamilton, surfing legend, is 48. John Bon Jovi is 50 years old. And Lou Reed celebrates his 70th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If I can say something sincere, which we don't do very often on the Kevin and Bean Show, we want to thank you for buying tickets yesterday for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2012. Sold out in less than an hour. Great show Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. You raised a lot of money for some terrific charities, the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai NICU. We will have more tickets that you can win for Foolishness 2012 next week, every day here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Bean, you know who's on the phone? Mole.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Why is Mole calling us?
Hey, Mole.
Hey, Kevin Bean, you know who it is?
Yeah, it's Mole.
It's Mole.
Wow.
How are you?
Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Mole.
What's going on, buddy?
You guys know why I'm calling. I bet you do.
Let's think about this.
This Sunday.
What's happening?
Coming over to my place. I'm making 5-layer Kevin Bean dip.
What are you talking about?
Football is over.
It's when my Austria Hollywood crazy at my Oscar party, Dooters.
Oscar party? It was last Sunday.
Yeah, you guys are coming. It's going to be awesome.
Mole, the Oscars were last Sunday.
Last Sunday, yeah. Wow.
No!
What do you mean, no? Yes. I watched them, yes.
Billy Crystal?
How does this keep happening?
I don't know. They gave out all of the Oscars they're going to give out until next year, Mole.
Oh, I hate this Google Plus. It's so confusing.
You were confused before Google Plus.
You guys totally should. Hold on, let me check. Did they talk about how movies had the ability to make people laugh and cry?
They did.
As a matter of fact, they did.
They really did have the Oscars.
I'm sorry, Mole.
Did the gay dude from Soap sing that messed up song about all the not cool movies?
Yes, as a matter of fact, he did. Yes, Billy Crystal,
the best,
right?
Worst thing in the world.
Yeah,
so you saw it.
I know, but I got to catch it. Did the ladies in the Help make duty pie for everybody?
Well, they played that clip from the film, but there was no actually poop pie being served.
That's a missed opportunity.
I agree.
Did you guys cry? Did you cry when they showed all those, all that montage of all the sad poor people in the, what do you call it, The technical awards?
No.
All those people live in Burbank. It's so sad.
I don't think that part's
supposed to be sad. I think they're celebrating those people.
Is this more of your April foolishness with Cleo the Cletones?
What?
No, that is a real thing. That's actually happening not till April 7th, but it doesn't have anything to do with you missing the Oscars.
Hey, did Angelina Jolie show up and look like a potato with pencils stuck in her for arms?
Yes.
Yes!
How did you know?
That happened.
She's so hot.
Yeah, she can eat, though.
You know what? Hey, you know what? If we're not doing the Oscars this weekend, you know what we could do?
What?
We could go out to Riverside and watch that giant truck pull that huge thing of cocaine, that rock of cocaine, to the LA Museum.
It's not cocaine.
They got to drop some of it.
It's a real rock. It's just a big rock, Mole. It's not drugs. There's nothing to do with that. They're just moving it for an art installation.
What?
It's just a rock.
What? I thought it was the 25th anniversary of Scarface.
No, nothing to do with that at all. Mole, you're so confused.
Let me ask this. What are we going to do for Leap Day?
Leap Day?
You missed Leap Day already. That happened 2 days ago, Mole.
Kevin, hey, can I give a shout out to my friend Amy who works at the weed store?
No.
Ralph Garman joins us now in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show for our final look at the showbiz beat for the week. What's going on?
You know, with American Idiot, the musical, coming to town here in Los Angeles, a lot of eyes on Green Day wondering what's up with the next album. When will that be on the way? Well, Billy Joe Armstrong and Mike Dirnt talked about the upcoming album. And here's what they had to say. It will be singing mainly about effing. The next album will be about sex.
All right.
According to Billy and Mike.
Never know if they're telling the truth.
I think it's so personal and so voyeuristic, Billy said in a YouTube video that was posted by the group. This is the first time we've really ever sung about effing. The songs are going to effing blow their minds, Mike Dern added. The sex-soaked ninth studio album, as they're calling it, will be out soon. So I'll have to wait and see. But effing. American effer. That's what they should call
it. I like it.
Yeah.
It's a universal topic. Hey, look, those guys, let's face it, who could have ever thought in their punk rock days that Green Day would turn into what they've become? I mean, those guys are
agreed.
At a level where they can write about anything and make it good.
Sounds to me like they're joking, though. But
I bet not.
Who knows?
Matthew Perry coming back to television. Oh, I miss Mr. Sunshine. Remember that sitcom he had for about 4 minutes?
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
Hollywood Reporter says Matthew's teamed up with a former writer from Friends to create a pilot for NBC called Go On, about a sportscaster who experiences a personal tragedy and tries to get past it with the aid of mandatory therapy and the people he meets there.
Why?
Because we love Matthew Perry.
He's a good actor.
He is. I like him.
He's great on that Studio 60.
Mm-hmm.
Great story, by the way. I was in, I forget what trade it was in a couple weeks ago, about the gist of the story was stop hiring all the writers from Friends to create new shows. Just because they were writers on Friends and that was it doesn't mean they're any good. And they list like all the pilots and sitcoms they had created since they went off the air. And it was just a big steaming pile. And so the writer was saying, look, we get it. Friends was a hit. Yes, it was well written. Doesn't mean these guys have more shows in them. Let's just give it a rest. It's not an automatic pass. Just because you wrote on Friends, you get to create a new show. So we'll have to wait and see if Go On is any good or not. Bruce Willis. Not just working on Die Hard number 5. Or is it 6? I forget.
I think it's 5.
But he announced yesterday he'll be doing a new action thriller called 5 Against a Bullet, in which he'll play one of 5 bodyguards who are hired to protect a Mexican politician from a drug cartel during an election. 5 Against a Bullet. The bullet was marked for El Presidente. The 5 of them had to stop it. It's 5 Against a Bullet.
Is that the trailer?
It should be. You've seen the other trailer? It's a movie with him and Henry Cavill, who plays Superman in the upcoming Superman movie, where they're all out boating, having a family vacation. Bruce Willis is his dad, and he comes back to the boat, and they're all gone.
No.
And it turns out dad was in the CIA and had some briefcase full of something that was wanted by somebody in the government. And the family disappears, and Bruce Willis reappears, and the two of them have to team up, father and son, who never really got along, and rescue the rest of their family. Interesting concept.
Did you see the trailer for Piranha 3DD?
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard good things.
Put that up at the website.
It's the best.
Go to kevinandbean.com, krock.com. You can watch that. It looks like the best movie ever.
And isn't Gary Busey in it for just a second? I mean, they barely even spotlight him.
He's in it, and Hasselhoff is in it. And it still looks funny.
Yeah.
Kidding me? It adds to the funny with those two.
If they do it right, if they have the right tone or whatever, and it seems like they do.
They do.
Yeah.
My buddy Dave Koechner's in that as well.
Yes, he is.
He's raving about it, so it's good times.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down
not
here.
It isn't out yet. It's just the trailer. It's all. What we've seen is the trailer.
I thought maybe Hoff wanted to go to April Foolishness. Maybe he was looking for tickets for that because it's all sold out.
Could be.
We got to book Hoff for next year's.
Seriously, though, no.
Seriously, though, yes.
To do what?
Stand up.
Does he do stand-up?
He doesn't do stand-up.
Well, let's make him do it. What's wrong with you? Why are you so wrong-headed about this? Hasselhoff on stage doing stand-up. Tell me that wouldn't be the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't do
stand-up.
Yeah,
but no. But yeah.
Him on stage doing magic would be great, too, but he doesn't do magic.
There we go.
I'd be in for that, too.
How about
magic.
Kevin and Bean's May Magic? We have a new show. We do a new show every year. All celebrity magicians. Think outside the box, you two. Stretch a little bit.
We stretch with Larry King. What do you want from us?
That's going to be awesome.
It is.
Can't wait to see Larry.
It was weird. We were giving away tickets for Foolishness earlier today, and one of the questions that Chip asked when she puts them on hold is, who are you excited to see? And almost every person on hold was, they said Larry King. Larry King's the one there. With all these phenomenal worldwide comedians, Larry King's the one that people are
imagine if Hoff was on the lineup.
Well,
magic that would happen.
I agree with you there.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence says she'd like to get naked in a movie.
All right.
I will allow it.
She still hasn't found a film script that makes her want to appear naked on the big screen, but she said she's all for it.
Come on, writers, get with it.
She's pretty, yes, pretty spectacular.
She is. Yeah.
Remember in X-Men First Class, she was almost naked as Mystique there. She was blue, but she was naked nonetheless. So far, I haven't found a film I'd love to be naked in, she told the UK version of Glamour magazine. But I certainly never look at an actress naked in a movie and judge her. It's the human body, which is a beautiful thing, right? So stay tuned, she says.
It is in her case.
I like that she's putting that out there. She's just like, hey, everyone, I'd like to do it.
By the way, the photo's accommodating this story. I don't know if you can see this or not.
Oh, wow.
There's Jennifer Lawrence.
They should have put her in Piranha 3DD.
We should have that happen, too.
In a bikini there, so I'm just saying. And porn star Kim Kardashian, apparently desperate to get back with Reggie Bush. In Touch magazine claims she's trying to show Reggie that this time around their relationship would be more important to her than her fame.
Yeah.
Which is a lie. By the way, if you're listening, Reggie.
Please.
The magazine reports that she's been flying out in private jets in the middle of the night to avoid paparazzi for rendezvous with Reggie. They check into a high-class hotel and stay in the room the entire time and then leave separately so no one would write stories about them. So she's going out of her way to avoid the paparazzi for once in her life to try to make a point to our man, Reggie Bush.
You don't think I feel bad?
I don't, no.
That's the way to have a relationship with her, by the way.
That's it. Secretly.
Fly in.
A lot of banging in a hotel. Right. Don't have to be seen with her. Don't have to talk to her. Just fly in and fly out.
All right, you walk out. I'm coming out an hour later.
Oh,
go.
Ray J. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Lou Reed is 70 years old. Singer John Bon Jovi of the legendary band Bon Jovi with their album Bon Jovi, featuring the single Bon Jovi. He is 50 years old.
He made a deal with the devil to look like that, right?
Yeah, he's a little ridiculous at 50. Hasn't aged a day.
No.
You just love a bad name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, Ralph, you're just begging. You're begging for it. What's happening?
He's going to have one all to himself.
Bring
from
it.
From today only.
Bring it.
We will.
Laird Hamilton, legendary surfer, 48 years old. Daniel Craig, James Bond, 44 years old. Chris Martin of Coldplay's 35. Bryce Dallas Howard, beautiful and talented actress. Can be seen, of course, in The Help. She was in Emo Spider-Man. She was...
That was a bad Spider-Man.
Yeah. She's in The Village.
She was in The Village. That's right. That's where we first got to see her, really. 31 years old today. And Robert Eiler from The Sopranos, who played Tony's son on that series, 27 years old today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have beer mug interviews on the red carpet of Project X. Did I say Project X?
Yes,
Kevin's,
you did.
Kevin's Project X.
Oh, Kevin's Project X.
I apologize. That's
Thank you for bringing that up, Kevin, because a lot of our listeners will go see Project X this weekend. Pay attention. I guess there's a scene where they're listening to the radio, or the radio is their voiceover, talking about the party that happened the night before, and apparently you and Ryan Seacrest are featured.
What?
In the scene.
Bean and
not
I did
so, a, not so much with the Bean.
Bean and I did a bunch of lines of dialogue, and they cut all his out because clearly he does not have a command of the English language
I do. Yes, you're the presence. You're the one that keeps
everything straight.
You're the guy who drives the bus here on the Kevin and Bean show.
That's right.
So much for the Bean, huh?
So
drives the bus into an embankment.
So how is it possible that I'm in there and he's not? I don't.
Talents, Project X.
Charm. Good looks.
On Monday, we have NASCAR legend Jeff Gordon in the studio, so come back then, won't you?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, my God.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I love that girl.
Roll.
Will be there.
Don't think I forgot, let you slide, let me ride, just another homicide. Yeah, it's me, so I'm a talk on, stomping on easy streets that you can walk on. So strap on your cubs and hat your locks. Oh, look.
Yeah!
What?
Yeah.
Giraffe's name.
This one seems to be about me.
Oh my God, really?
I don't have another cent.
Hey, don't do that. Don't look like that and talk like that. It makes my wiener feel weird.
Will somebody shut him up?
Just pass it around.
What am I doing?
Don't bother that joint, my friend.
surprisingly salty.
I'm just passing on
down. Lisa's right. We're nothing but a big bunch of losers. Show's over, folks. Go home.
You know, I was thinking I wanted to pitch an idea to you.
I'm all ears.
It's called Bye.
Well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's good. You know what? Better than good. Good enough.
It was boring. People were sleeping. Nobody enjoyed it. There was no good feeling. Too bad. It was a great institution. It's gone.
Will Glenda be there?